Listen to What the Hell Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on www.randradio.com.
You might hear something like this.
You know what they need? You know what they need here? They need that guy from America's Best Chasers. The 5 minutes of pleasure on the internet can lead to hours of ringing eyes, of tears, and pain.
Sheriff Fernell.
Somebody send me
the bloody head
of Sheriff Fernell. There's a Rant Radio prize of $50 million in Rant Radio dollars for the head of
John Fernell.
Bring me his head. $50 million.
What kind of an ass?
Rant Radio dollars for the head of John Bonnell.
What kind of a guy is this? Seriously, have you ever watched his commentary? It's like, listen how he weaves in dangerously in and out of traffic. Yeah, it's going like 5 miles an hour. Look at this child on a skateboard with reckless advantage, private property. Curse life. 10 minutes on a skateboard can bring a lifetime of trauma when he falls without his helmet. Like, somebody destroy him, you know? Seriously, can I get some suppressive fire over here?
What's no?
Are we live again?
We're live. No, we're not live.
Wow. Where's
4 minutes.
Where's the volume for these headphones, or is this like my strange button?
Is it really loud, Sean?
Holy fuck, yeah.
If you don't like the volume, stop talking so loud.
No,
it's
like,
really loud.
It's really loud.
It's yeah, really, it's pretty loud.
It's
yeah,
loud,
there we go.
Loud.
Yes.
That's a little bit more
that's
controllable.
That's much better, yes. Thank you.
I'm very loud.
How come?
I've got me gone, my hat's gone.
What's that?
Is this on? Is this live?
Is this on? Is this on?
I can't hear anything. I can't really hear myself with this.
Is the microphone on?
Pointing it like... okay, I'm talking it like right into it now. I'm about to give it a deep throat.
No.
The only thing missing
okay,
is
you're,
the money
you're
shot.
A little, you're a little low.
James, that looks awesome. That looks fucking amazing. You look like a kosher DJ. You are the Yiddish fucking master cylinder. I am James of the Yid. Okay. He's like MC in the Wailing Wall and Killing Kids.
You're going to be this one here.
Who is he?
Exactly.
Go la la la.
La 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 la.
Go,
that's
yeah.
A little better, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah
it was
Shana
your microphone.
Shana. Shana.
Shana. Shana.
I'm the scat man.
We hadn't adjusted that
Holy.
One yet.
Holy.
Hey.
Hey.
Wow, Darcy. Turn Darcy
hey.
Way
hey.
The fuck no. down.
Yes, much down for Darcy.
Much down for Darcy because Darcy.
Let's all identify, and then Darcy will be the one that's left, and I'll turn that one down.
Okay.
Nope. Identify.
Identify.
Identify yourself. Identify. Playback.
La 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 la.
Dust be done you.
It doesn't matter. It is all recording, by the way.
This is not playback today. Now this is a Rant Radio, and I'm just fucking fine.
This is the guy who does the announcement. Attention,
game worker shoppers. We have a shave down at Iron 9.
Again, you game worker shoppers. Let's go down. Hey, man. It's the red and blue light special. All you can fucking carry.
Hey,
that's why I'm putting blue lights.
Thank you very much. Come again.
That's not good. At all.
I'm going to do the whole show, I guess.
Who else is showing up? Anybody?
Yep.
Who else?
Ooh, wow. Down. James, turn me down. Turn me way the fuck down, like. So, I'm sorry, man. Okay, don't turn me down. I'll hold the mic further away.
Okay, just a sec. I
no,
know
I'll turn them. I'll hold the mic further away. Whatever. I'll hold the mic.
There it is.
There. Blah blah blah. Blah 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 blah. There. Okay. Good. Thank you. Come again.
Thank you. Come again.
Okay. Good. We're all good.
It's better with me loud.
We're all good
anyways.
Here. How are you?
I need
favor?
To outspeak you
do,
without
do me,
yelling.
Do me a favor, Drex.
No.
Say, wipe them out. All of them. Just say that once. Yeah.
Wipe them.
No, you got to have...
Wipe them out.
Oh, perfect, yeah.
All of
if
them.
You want to see something, if you want to see something scary, you should have seen Andrew's costume last night.
What was Andrew's costume last night?
Black robes.
Black
a
robes.
A huge black staff with a golden orb on top of it. And he has black kind of netting so that you can't see his face inside the hood.
Wow, oh, so he's Bill Gates.
I thought I recognized him.
Wipe that out. Oh, there you go. Now get the face on. No, you gotta. You had it better before, Doris. You had it better before. Like we just turned. No, that's right there.
There it is.
Don't move.
It is the upper.
I have to wipe the smile from my face. Just
no, not really, because he's smiling when he says wipe them out, all of them.
Wipe them out. All of them.
That's so awesome.
Except my voice really sucks.
Soon you will call me my master. No, my young Jedi. It's afraid you are mistaken about a great many things. Emperor Palpatine for president, man. Like, he wouldn't take, he would take zero shit. He would pick up Jesse the Body fucking Ventura and body slam him, like, to a planet.
You know the thing is, you take all the fascist, all the fascism slamming I ever do, if I was in charge, I'd be such a fascist.
I can't hear you, Brian, because Darcy's talking and I have...
Cthulhu for president, why signing for the lesser evil?
Yeah, I've got actually some of those old campaign posters, too. I still think Cthulhu should be in charge.
Patton Dasa, big
la la. Oh, that's much better.
It looks so stupid.
Cows with guns.
No, look. The point of the headphones is so that you are isolated in Grant Radio land, in What the Hell land. We need more headphones. Everybody has to wear
them. Believe me, we are always isolated here at Grant Radio.
Look at us. Look at us. We're all...
Nobody thunk it. Nobody knew. No one imagined.
And the show's late again. We just stand. Show's got to be late.
You're gonna cut me some faggot wings.
He hid in the forest, read books with great
little ponytails.
He loved Che Guevara, a revolutionary. Veal. Cow say tongue.
Stop that. Hey, Sean.
He spoke about justice, nice, but puppy. Nobody stirred. He felt like an outcast, alone in the herd. He moved. We must fight, escape, or we'll die. Cows gathered around because the stakes
were so high. We might
want
to turn the basic pickup a little bit higher.
Well, bad cow pun. Then he was captured, stuffed into a crate, loaded onto a truck where he rode to his fate. Cows are bum.
You can't because of that hump.
He was a scrawny cat.
The hump
looks rather loosey.
No one it sucks. Major ass.
La la. Okay, so I have to talk louder.
Cows with guns. They came with a needle, a stick in his thigh. He kicked for the groin. He pissed in their eye. Cowell humming. Knocked over a tractor and ran for the door. 6 gallons of gas flowed out on the floor.
I went my paper.
Run, cows, run.
I went my paper.
He picked up a bullhorn and jumped up on the head. We are free roving bovines. We run free today.
We will fight for bovine freedom.
No, no, I say kill the cows.
What was our motto today?
Kill the cows.
No,
that is our motto. Cows are stupid, kill the stupid. Kill all that is stupid, kill the cows.
Okay, I think our motto for today is ignore Darcy.
Have you seen cows?
And James keeping with the
found it.
I found it too. How about we leave it up here at 10?
Hey,
tipped over milk.
All right.
Torched all the feed.
Have you seen?
You're really loud.
No, I can hardly hear myself. Fuck you. Put it back where it was.
Trust me.
Have you seen cows in captivity?
Yes, but could you turn it down just a little bit?
Yeah, you're
very, very loud.
Really fucking loud, Darcy.
I'm not picking on you. You are very loud, man.
Like, it's not. No, really, we're not being
loud in the headphones.
It's just like, holy shit.
Have it your way.
My headphones are not that loud.
They're very, very loud, and I'm about to, like, turn up this mic, and I can barely hear myself.
Yeah, well, you need to be turned up.
No, you need to be turned down. You all need to be turned down, and I need to be turned up.
Okay.
I don't want to look like a nun.
No, no, that again. And now this is
Emperor to Sister Palpatine in 20 seconds or less.
The president said...
Anyways,
Sean, you look like the
have you ever seen cows? Have you ever seen cows in a farm?
Looking good.
Sitting there, eating and shitting? Don't they look happy?
I've never actually seen them eat and
they look happy. They look happy.
No, they don't. They look
I'm sorry. They're looking happy. Have you ever seen a cow in a field? This is what it does. It goes... Looks up.
Cows
wow, the grass over there looks really good. But it's over there.
You know what? I'm pretty sure that cow. I've seen cows.
Fuck! I have to go over there because I'm starting to eat dirt over here.
No, I've seen cows.
Oh, a few more mouths.
I've had cows look up at me and go, "God damn, what I wouldn't give for internet access right now."
Yeah, cows. They want to sit on their ass and do nothing. My mic is way too quiet.
I saw.
No, your mic is
not. In relative.
Direct, listen to how loud you have the volume in view. You're having like phallic volume attacks.
Hardly.
Am I really loud?
You are kind of loud. I saw a great commercial. It says December 31st. It's a bar. It's a wire button. Watching television, listening to the countdown, the New Year's countdown. Out in front is a cow chewing away on its cut.
Yeah.
Gets down to a count of one. All of a sudden, there's a huge flash from the power line. The cow looks over like, "What the fuck was that?"
Yeah.
Looks for a second. Inside, you hear a guy going, hey, what the hell happened? Where's the power? I can't see anything." He turns back, looks towards the screen, continues to chew his cut. The screen goes black. And then you see cows, Y2K compliant.
This is not supported by money back.
Yes, it's for the California Dairy Association. Dairy Association. Association. Did I say it wrong? Association. I got a little bit. I have a little bit of a.
They're making fun of you.
I got a little bit of a list. Strongly encouraged. Callers and participants in the What the Hell show may be subject to ridicule and juvenile name calling by the members of our esteemed panel or random layabouts we picked up off the street. Music played on the show may be not appropriate to interest to anyone.
Hey,
you may decide to run to the toilet.
Hey,
does
the carpet
quickly run around in circles until you pass out?
Does the carpet
by the time you
gain
consciousness, the song will be over. Do not operate heavy machinery while thinking about the show, let alone listening to it.
Are we live?
Welcome to the What the Hell Halloween Special. Guaranteed to scare you, if not by what we say, by what we look like. Join us, won't you? On the Galnet servers in the Rant Radio channel. Or if that's too gruesome, you can join us through the webpage www.rantradio.com and click on the chat. And now here are your spooky ghost, hosts, Sumerian and Drexel!
Welcome, where am I? test, there I am. Welcome!
Oh yeah, you get to be loud.
Yes, because I'm the host of the show.
And it's his radio station.
It's also
I'm the host of the show, too.
You're loud too now. And you're very loud.
Oh, I can be loud, but if I have to yell to be loud, that'd be bad.
You're bad.
He's putting his microphone as close as he can to his mouth. If it was
actually,
any closer,
actually, you know what?
It would be inside.
Actually, you know what? It's just as close as yours.
True. I've got this layer of foam against mine. Welcome
I'm
to
just
the
emulating you.
Halloween special.
Only
of what
I don't
the
have
hell.
The foam.
Ooh. And we're all very, very scary. And if you can. I've pretty much taken off my costume because I can't type and I can't put the headphones on with the hat on. So I'm supposed to be Freddy Krueger, so you can't really guess what I am. Everyone sings, I'm a lone
We're really jacket. Actually pretty scary with
no
with,
costumes.
No costumes.
Yeah,
so if everyone can try and guess what we are, that's
I'm usually very,
a little
very
thing
frightened.
To keep you busy for a little
so
bit
So you took
there.
Off your claws and your hat.
Took off my claws and my hat.
So you're just a lumberjack.
I'm a lumberjack now with a biking glove.
You're Michael Jackson as a lumberjack.
That's right.
You're an 80s skater.
He's a lumberjack and he's okay.
He's a pole pirate.
A pole pirate.
You're a Microsoft one.
We have very, very, very exciting news to announce this week, but I'm not going to say it yet, so I'm going to keep you on the edge of your
I'm
seat.
I'm going to tell him right now.
No! La, 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 no, no, no.
Come on.
You know what? Yeah.
It's amazing how little faith Sim has in me.
You've done it before.
No, never.
No, I don't
Never.
Think
That's something you would do. You're the one that gives away secrets.
Oh, cool. Actually, right.
No, he has more faith than the rest of us.
None of us have any faith in you, Jackson.
Actually, he has so little faith in me, I don't even know what you guys are talking.
I put faith in you, too.
Look, I got drunk last night, okay? So leave me alone. I'm not actually able to speak.
Still reeling from the alcohol.
You're reeling from alcohol?
A little.
Or reeking.
All right. If you're listening but you're not on the IRC.
Get there!
We still have that chat.
Oh yeah.
Okay, you go to our web page.
We make it easy for you.
We go to the web page.
W.
www.rantradio.com.
Holy Larry and Willie.
Hello.
What the fuck is this?
And
all capital letters.
Hey.
All capital letters.
All capital letters.
No, not no all spaces. Capital letters. Lowercase and no spaces.
All lowercase and no spaces. Okay.
Lots of spaces.
No spaces.
Where is it on the webpage?
It's right on, skip the intro, unless you want to see the intro, and then go to chat.
Chat.
There's a little button there for chat. Go to chat.
On the left-hand side, chat.
And you can chat with everybody on the show.
Type in your name.
You can, though.
And you're in there.
If you can type in your name.
If you can type in your name, if you're able to type in your name, and you have not consumed too many alcoholic liquids.
And if you're actually sad enough to be like the rest of us, be home on fucking Halloween on a Sunday night.
Halloween was last night.
Yeah, I celebrated
this
Halloween.
This is not Halloween.
This is fucking Halloween. What are you talking about?
This is Halloween.
Actually,
Halloween.
A lot of church groups tried to change this. Like, they were like, okay, we're going to not celebrate Halloween on Halloween because it is a Sunday, and we can't celebrate Halloween on Sundays.
Evil.
On the Sabbath.
You know the train in the background? I thought it was church people singing.
Here's the train.
And I was wondering how you coordinated that with the church people singing.
Oh, we can't really hear the train.
But yeah. You can hear me talking on both mics. You can leave it up if you want.
No, 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 no. No more volume to Drex.
Down, bad volume, bad.
You turned it down low enough.
Yeah.
Just making sure.
I
don't like hum. We were trying to make promos with the audio track from our show.
And it was like hum, hum, hum. See, there's the odd man out.
Yeah.
It's...
It's oh, my God, that a hideous costume. What the hell are you?
Hold the mic.
Did you hear that?
When you scream.
Oh, sorry.
Dak, did you hear that in your headphones? The distortion.
Yeah, sorry.
The loudness.
It was there. It was painful. If you're going to yell, put the mic proportionally further away.
There you go.
Woohoo.
We have most of the things that we do every week.
We both have screwed
up. We have Movie Man, Gross Hospital Stories. No question of the week, because sometimes that's dumb. Got news. He's a stripper. He's a male stripper. And there's only one person in this room that wants to see this. So.
Not even really Eric.
No.
Hey.
I think that one person.
Get out of
Derek.
Wants to see himself.
It's Anki.
I want to see Derek naked for Gloom Bunny. I want to have a
Gloom Bunny's
not listening.
No, Gloom
Bunny will not be with us for the next few weeks.
What? Yes. Yes, please.
She lost her computer. She lost.
How did she lose your computer?
Sure, it was somebody else. Yeah, she's in jail from shooting up the telephone company.
Oh, for fuck's
sake. No, it's somebody else's computer, so she can't listen in, unfortunately.
Yeah,
she's trying to get another one.
The person who she got the computer from...
Taken it away from her.
Well,
revoked her privileges.
And
borrowed it back.
Get Gloom Bunny a fucking box fund. If you want to send money into Get Gloom Bunny a fucking box fund, please send it to...
I've got the address. I've got the address here.
The address.
If you want to send anything in...
Especially money to the Gloom Bunny Get a Box Fund. Get Gloom Bunny a decent box. Find a good box.
Here's
without a box is just sad, man. You can't have that.
Here's the information if you want to send anything
it's
to us.
Wrong.
If you would like to email death threats or send mail bombs to anyone you're listening to tonight on What the Hell, email us at info@rantradio.com or send explosive charges to Box 256, Fort Langley, BC, Canada, B0X1J0. Don't bother me on ICQ number 51558. Cash or figurables greatly appreciated. When are you going to
die? So there you go.
By the way, I'm responsible. Me.
By the way, we're all eating toffees. That's why you hear.
Traditional sounds
and how. Thank you for the toffees.
Traditional porno sounds.
However, it's just toffees all around.
It's not a porno.
To make those traditional porno sounds, I'd have to be going. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. That's good.
Oh yeah.
That's the way we like it, baby.
My ass, yeah.
The bomb target address, that's Box 256, Fort Langley, BC, Canada, V0X1J0.
Wow, nobody's listening to me.
I'm going to go check because the ICQ is messing up. It's really weird nobody's listening. Maybe because they're all doing something.
they all have lives.
So we're going to go around the room, and somebody has to be on the camera.
That's enough. I'm too stupid.
Sharpen your crayons.
Because my microphone doesn't... My microphone doesn't reach the camera anymore, so I can't do it. Oh, we're going to see who's in the IRC this week. Infaloop, Lieutenant Major Zombie, Mord Sith, and Shazbort.
Yay.
Yay. Yay. Much rejoicing.
Yay.
Okay, I'm going to go on the...
Yay.
I'm going to go on the camera so that... Okay.
It says something about Infaloop, or who's that?
Interloop. I don't know. It's a guy. It's a guy on the internet. Listens every week. Or a girl.
It could be a guy. You don't know it's a guy. It could be a woman.
No,
it
could be a woman.
He sent a picture in.
It could be a woman that has decided to make us think that it's a guy.
Okay.
But in that case, that she wants to think us to think she's a guy, so it's okay to call her a guy.
Has anybody figured out who we are? And what are we doing here? Is it me? I'm Samarian, your ever-present host.
What is the ICQ number?
The ICQ number is 51558, as simple as you can get.
Type it on the IRC.
But you won't be able to communicate with us through that during the show.
That's not during the show. That's for, like, talking to me all the other time. Okay, I'm Samarian. Hi.
What?
And we'll start over there.
Oh, hey, I've got to put my mask on.
I can't hear you.
Okay.
Could
you turn on the corner screen? Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a good idea. So we can see ourselves. Oh, there we go. And there's Mr. Kennedy himself.
Hey.
And it says, everything is fine. Everything is fine.
Put it on properly for a sec so we can get a good picture.
Yep. Nice and all over. Nice and all over. Get it all over your face.
Now straighten out the wrinkles on your forehead. You old Phoebe. There you go.
Speak.
Somebody help me.
Somebody help me. Oh, there's a good addition. That's Anki's contribution to the show. Okay, get Anki while he's here. There he comes. Here he comes. There we go. Tasty pumpkin. You can take off the mask.
You can take it off. We're done.
We got
you.
Your picture. And next one over, we've got the shy one. There she is in full garb. She's okay on the camera right now because she's in disguise.
She doesn't remember she's supposed to be shy.
Oh, that's right. She's in disguise. She's a whole different mindset for Halloween. And say hi.
Say hi. Hello.
There we go. That actually picked up. Now we've got Dak.
Thank you very much. Welcome to the show.
7-Eleven worker. We've got to get the hand. No, we've got to get the hand.
Hi.
Where's the pot
there
of
we
meat?
Go. The potted meat is coming. The potted
meat. Yeah, look at the camera, not the TV.
Hi.
And next over, we've got Projectile Vomit Man under control tonight. 200% sexy Projectile Vomit Man as Hannibal Lecter.
You can keep this one. I don't
want it. Danger, disease now. Where's danger, the girl on the left? Danger. The girl on the left is in Edmonton, I believe. Is she in Edmonton?
She's as far left as you can get right now.
She said she's in Edmonton, right?
Yep.
The girl on the left, your sister.
That's right, yeah. She's there for some kind of college newspaper conference.
College newspaper conference.
In
okay.
Edmonton.
My whole family can't avoid Edmonton. I think even my mom was recently in Edmonton because she stopped there to fly back here from Ontario.
Sucking void. Sucking void of Edmonton.
I hate Edmonton. It's the only place I've ever been where I feel like I'm going to fall up.
Edmonton is like...
The Anderson clan has been sucked to Edmonton.
And the next one over, we've got Drex in full garb. You can't even tell. It's an improvement, I think.
Show the
weapon. There we go. Oh, he's got the weaponry out. He's about to kill me.
You have to turn the blades to the side so they can see what kind of blades are.
Right now, they're like, your hands are holding black things.
Nobody can see.
Sideways,
turn it against
sideways.
The Gurkha. The Gurkha sideways.
There.
There you go. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Excellent. And we've got Bob from Peru on the camera.
Come out, Bob.
Come out wherever you are. There he is. Oh, beautiful blonde hair.
Long-term memory flashback at Bob from Peru. Bob is incognito. Anyway. That's just a personal moment between me and Bob.
So we
used to dress up.
Wait,
like
Bob!
Fuck each other.
Show the camera how much underwear you're wearing.
Oh!
Hey, you're rat, Bob.
Get him in a close up. Come on.
Big, smelly rat, Bob.
Come on, Bob. At least show him your ass.
Come on, we need some ratings, Bob.
Show need to boost this up.
Go down on
Look
yourself.
Look at that.
Oh, yeah, that's the one.
So I made some promos this week.
Someone feed Bob some alcohol.
Shh.
We got to get his ass off film.
Hang on. Samarian is trying to speak.
So am I.
Drex and I made some promos this week. We got off our asses and did something.
Woohoo!
Actually, we sat on our asses and did something.
Sat on our asses and did something in front of the computer.
It's a great thing about computers.
That you can sit on
You don't have to get off your ass.
And be productive.
Right.
And they're mighty promos.
They are mighty promos. And as soon as I get them, here they are.
They're taken from other shows, so this shows what you're missing if you don't listen to the show. But the people that are listening right now are always here, so they've heard this before. It's memories from the past. Here they
are. You can share experiences.
Listen to What the Hell Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on www.randradio.com.
You might hear something like this.
Okay, you know how I've been telling you about how I've been buying things lately and I've had to wait for them all?
Yes.
I bought my Loomis fan, I had to wait like 3 weeks for it. Then I bought my bed, I had to wait for that forever. I spent a bunch of money on that. I bought a whole bunch of like cheats and crap like that. I had to wait for that. And then I bought my DVD player and I had to wait for that. I bought my van, I got it, and somebody smashed into it. Then I got my sheets on my bed and a cat pissed on it. I'm lying there. My cat wakes me up. He's looking at me intently. And I'm like, oh, fuck, he's so nice. I'm petting him. And then he gets up and runs away, and I realize that he's just been pissing on my bed, looking at me all pissed off like. And now I'm waiting for something horrible to happen to my DVD.
Yes.
This is all bad.
All bad.
This does not bode well for the DVD.
Listen to What the Hell Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on www.randradio.com.
You might hear something like this.
You know what they need? You know what they need here? They need that guy from America's Best Chases. 5 minutes of pleasure on the internet can lead to hours of wringing eyes, of tears, and pain. Send me
Burnell.
Sheriff Burnell. Somebody send me
the bloody head
of
Sheriff Burnell.
There's a Rand Radio prize of $50 million in Rand Radio dollars for the head of
John Burnell. Bring me his head. $50 million.
What kind of an ass?
Rant Radio dollars for the head of John Burnell.
What kind of a guy says this? Have you ever watched his commentary? It's like, listen how he weaves in dangerously in and out of traffic.
Yeah, it's going like 5 miles an hour.
Look at this child on a skateboard with reckless abandon to private property. Curse like. 10 minutes on a skateboard can bring a lifetime of trauma when he falls without his helmet. Like, somebody destroy him, you know? Seriously, can I get some suppressive fire over here?
You're listening to the What the Hell Show and those sick individuals we call DJs on Rant Radio.
And we're back.
Hurrah!
Huzzah.
Huzzah!
That's so bad, like Vegas bullshit. Huzzah! Hands up.
So now it's time for the news of the week.
News of the week.
I've tried to. I know.
Attention, America, and all the ships at sea.
I should have done that for it.
Oh, I could have farted, and if I had thought quick, I could have shut my mic down there and farted into the microphone.
Thank you for sharing, or not sharing, as the case may be.
I'm sorry, Sean, you do not get a fart allowance.
I get fart allowance.
It's now time for the news and web pages of the week. If you have an interesting news item or web page, send it to me, Severian, at ICQ number 51558. And now for the news of the week.
We're all grabbing for the gas mask.
Hey, you know what, Desmond? Don't bother. It doesn't filter out that.
Doesn't filter out smells?
That'll go right through it.
Yeah. My
danger.
My farts are not NBC compliant. that has a good chance of
your little puppy dog is crying.
Go check your shorts, pal.
You mentioned your germ warfare training before.
I am Commander X.
Okay, this one.
It's a spleen.
That's a pretty impressive and potent bioweapon you've got there.
Oh, yeah, wait for it. If I had some Mickey D's, fuck, we'd all be dead now. You know what's bad? You ever notice when you go take a shit and you're like taking a shit sometimes and you're sitting there taking this shit and you're like, whoa. And then sometimes you take a shit and the smell of your own shit doesn't really bug you because it's kind of like that your own odor kind of thing going on. But then sometimes you'll take a shit because you've been drinking and you had like some bad pizza and you're sitting there and the smell gets to you and you're going, whoa, this is my own shit and this is so bad I can barely fucking stand it. And you're like, holy fuck. And you're like always at a friend's house because you always do it at the friend's house. You take like the rank shit. And the minute you come out of the party, you've taken like the most rank giant shit. There's shit falling off the fucking ceiling. The cat is dead. Animals are like flying in. The mosquitoes flying through. A person to fly.
Plants are well ashes.
Right. And the minute you leave that fucking shitter and you jump up, slam the door really fast so no one knows it was you, the sexiest bitch at the party who you've been wanting to like get a chance to talk to is standing right by the door and she's going in there right after you. And you know at that moment.
That's
like,
why you gotta walk out and go, whoa, whew, whoa, who's in there? It's, oh, well, I wouldn't go in there. Oh,
but I usually try to bank that, you know, she'd think she would respect power and think that, you know, because my colon was so mighty that she might want, you know.
In response to.
Say, that's 2 weeks worth.
Sean. No, I don't know what you mean.
Take my word for it. I'm a man who knows that his shit stinks.
We have a casualty.
Back
here.
To the news.
Actually got
a tire there.
Okay.
Can I have a Dr. Pepper, please?
Can I have a Dr. Pepper as well?
Can I have a Dr. Pepper, too?
Thank Dr. You. Pepper. Okay, slap it on the table.
So, Enki, what does Dr. Pepper feel like entering the lung?
The worst guy I've ever made laugh was the chicken, because the chicken, I had him in a Dairy Queen, and he was eating a blizzard, and I got him...
He passed the entire blizzard with the spork through his nose.
Through his nose, and he was actually trying to stab me with a spork, you know, this fucking plastic...
That's it. Let it drip everywhere. Is this on purpose?
Fuck.
Oh. Great!
We have a Dr. Pepper incident. Dr. Pepper, danger.
Great!
Danger.
Happy Halloween, Sim!
Yeah, no kidding.
Wait. Man the camera.
Man the camera, quick. Oh, God.
Blab, don't rub.
Don't worry, listeners. Just to bring you up to stop on what has just happened, it seems that Enki, in his dope-induced stupor, has brought out and given Sim a canister of toxic waste disguised as Dr. Pepper, upon which Sim opened it, thinking that his friend Enki would not be trying to kill him, and it sprayed all over his fucking body. Television danger. Not rub Dr. Pepper on screen.
Fight.
No fight.
No, that's fucking gross, because that's been in the sink for like 3 days.
You leave shit in your sink
wiping
for 3 days.
Up miscellaneous things.
You're so clean.
That I've forgotten about.
Aren't you just so fucking
now it's
fragile.
All coming back to me.
It's all coming back to me now.
What?
Sim's fragile.
I am. It's very delicate.
Incidentally, now would be a good time. Since we're talking about how fragile Sim is, we should...
What?
Well, I have to yell to get your attention.
I already said what, and you didn't say anything. That'd be cool. Now we'll have to go around and get everyone. Was it not on?
No, it's not on.
That would be very cool. That sucks. Oh, well, I'll have to do it another way.
So we don't get Sumerian getting all wet.
Oh, yeah, it's all taping, but on the VCR. Okay, this first news story putrid and disgusting and falls in with Halloween because it's really gross.
Great.
Like... No, it's really gross.
Well, I'll fart again so we can have, like, smelling uncomfortable.
Oh, no.
Nikki, I would avert your eyes.
Kennedy used to plan and actually, I think he'd save it up. And he'd come to my house. He'd spend this whole 2.5 hours on the bus coming from Langley to Vancouver to come to my house to eat my Kraft dinner and shit in my toilet.
Since we're talking about this, do you ever fart and you wonder, like, you fart?
No.
And it's like, it starts to fart, you go, and then you feel like you want to look at your body because you think it's actually shrinking. Because there's no way you could be letting this much air out of your body and actually want to, you know, see how your stomach is shrinking because you know.
Or you're laughing and you fart and you want to check. Or if it was just a fart.
Again,
no.
Down,
or you go down the stairs and
no.
You fart as you go down the stairs, so it's like. Are you laughing so fucking hard that you're going, like, you're grabbing your stomach going.
This to me
sounds like severe lack of control. Okay, well, I just have a lot more control
like
over my parts, I guess.
Where several
this
stuff
just does not happen to me.
Okay, did anybody else here get those ones where you've like been eating really
I just like to
food,
say that
it's really hot, it's humid, it comes out like really airborne, and then afterwards you have to go to the bathroom just to check, just to make sure.
I don't check.
You're worried about it?
It's one of those things you don't really check.
I just like to
what
say
if it
brutal.
Is, what are you going to do about it?
Not like much. It's already done.
We're several stops past my final destination on the information train. Can we go back now?
Excuse me. I'd like to get off.
Stop.
Please get off somewhere
again.
Else on your own time. We've had enough disgusting stories from you. Thank you, Sean.
Sorry, I already posted.
I know other people have farted like that, though.
Here's the picture.
I'm not the only one. There are others like me.
To add my 2 cents to the whole subject, there's a phrase called gambling and losing.
Yeah. That's like that little poem you always see on the bathroom wall about the school bus coming and you have to use your finger.
Nope. Don't know that one.
Me neither. And you know what? I'm happy not knowing it.
Oh, wow.
Do not look at that.
What happened here?
Oh, I know
while under the influence of angel dust, this man decided to peel off his own face using pieces of a broken mirror and feed the strips of flesh to his pet dogs. He survived due to the large amounts of drugs, anesthetizing his system. The dogs were removed by the police to the animal shelter, where their stomachs were pumped, resulting in the recovery of pieces of the man's face, lip, and nose.
Oh, my God.
Wow, is that ever brutal.
Oh,
so there's a guy who's got a career in a circus.
He survived.
Sucks to be you.
What is that? Does that mean he's still alive somewhere?
Yes. Well,
like that?
Survives mean, yeah.
No, this is what he probably looked like when he came in.
Oh, wow. Reconstructive surgery nightmare.
Fuck that. I think you should just let him scab.
Yeah, fuck. And put him on videos, you know? Don't do drugs. Drugs are bad because you know what? People have missed this point.
Kay.
I've gone through this before. But how can you get on crack?
Better than
how
that.
How can you get on
always,
an
always get
crack?
Good angel dust as opposed to bad angel dust.
No,
this
wait,
was bad angel dust.
Wait. How?
Is that demon dust?
It's bad enough when people do cocaine. I guess that's supposed to be, like, trendy. But crack? Everyone knows crack is bad for you.
There was
How can you miss it?
There was an
crack
investigative report. There was an investigative report.
I'm not finished. Shut up.
On Annie.
Crack is bad for you. It's all over television.
Around.
It's all over the TV. It's all over the radio.
I think
every show, has crack. And they say crack is bad. And no one ever, even people that do crack, no one ever says... No one ever says that crack is good. So where are these people that are going from the one state where they're not doing crack to the other state where they are doing crack?
People who do methadone, like who do crack and then get on methadone, which hampers the receptors for getting high off of crack, instead of just doing crack because it gives them a different high now because of the methadone, they do like... heroin.
They still do
crack.
Their heroin because the methadone is to stop the heroin.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. The sole users of crack are not heroin users that got bored.
Well, there's that
or couldn't use it.
There's that political guy in the States who smoked crack with that whore in the fucking house there. What was
that?
Was talking about him?
Marion Barry.
Marion Barry's a god. Like anybody who like actually go and fucking
and get reelected
I smoked crack with a whore in a drug house
and
I got reelected.
Baron Barry for president.
Baron Barry.
We know what he's done.
We know what the fuck he's about. If he got a blowjob from his fucking intern, we'd all be like, oh yeah, well, so what? He got smack crack with a whore in a fucking whorehouse the other day. Who gives a shit? On with real news.
On with real news. Oh.
That's yummy.
That's yummy.
That's what I call a closed casket.
No, he survived. Okay, this one is related to this, to Halloween.
No,
this one's not
spill.
Gross.
That guy needs a good hydrogen peroxide bath.
Oh. Oh.
Can you say iodine?
Splash.
Sucks to be you. I know.
Principal won't egg on homecoming vandals. Kearney High School Principal Bill Kanagi has gone to extreme measures this homecoming. In a continuing effort to protect cars and other properties, he has set an annual lender... He has sent annual letters to local grocers telling them not to sell eggs to minors during homecoming festivities. Already, students from Kearney Catholic High School and Kearney High are in trouble for egging property over the weekend.
Good Lord.
Big Kmart pantry manager Chris Peterson said the store tells its employees to use common sense. If a 13-year-old is buying eggs, it's probably not for breakfast.
Okay, I
fascism!
And now they
it's
can't
fascism!
Toilet paper either. How about that?
How about this? How about
I
we
heard
just,
that on the radio.
How about we just give the kids fucking eggs? Otherwise, they'll come back with AK-47s.
That's
like
right.
They do in Columbine.
Give
okay?
them the eggs.
Give them the fucking eggs, okay? Just give them the eggs.
Nobody ever
gets hurt.
Nobody ever got fucking shot to death
soap
by
and water.
Eggs, okay? It's all good.
Yeah, soap and water won't take out the blood,
fucking
huh?
Eggs. No eggs? I'll take my dad's gun.
So, if you know, like you're hit by a bunch of eggs, is that like kind of cell shock?
Oh,
oh.
Dang.
Put it on the IRC for a second.
Okay, we're going to go to the IRC. Hey, somebody joined us. It's Skip Radio. Hey, Skip Radio.
Hi, Skip Radio.
Hello, Skip Radio. You look so sexy.
That is a weird picture, Morris.
What are you wearing, Skip Radio?
Yeah, are all you out there in costume? If you're in costume,
I was hoping, like, sexually, what would you be wearing?
What's that? Huh? What did you say?
What?
Hit him.
Hit him.
What was that?
I'll talk.
Damn, it didn't work.
Here's a morbid sight.
Thank you, Tuff.
A morbid sight.
Morbid, not gross, but morbid. It's called the home of the celebrity Deadpool. I think probably some people have heard about it.
Yep.
You bet on when people will die. Celebrities will die.
Can you make money?
Yes, you can make $10,000, I believe, on this website.
I've already lost cash. Not on this, but I had a standing bet that James Doohan would be the first of the Star Trek cast to go, and DeForest Kelly basically goes and gets old on me.
Damn.
I mean, you figure with a man that fat, you got a good chance of winning, right?
And then you just had to go, he's dead, Jim.
Yeah, there's somebody. He's dead,
it was
Jim.
For the jokes. It was for all for the jokes. Is that I got to go first.
Yeah, because did anybody
nobody
make
else
the joke? He's dead, Jim?
Actually, there is one other person who did technically die first. William Shatner's career.
Oh. Well, actually, no, because he's got, like, tech war.
He's still going quite strong.
Yeah, he's got his books and all his other shit. And all he's got to do is show up and say, hey, remember me? I'm fat. I used to be Captain Kirk, right? And everyone's like, yay. That's why I like the guy. Who plays fucking Sulu?
George Takei.
Okay, George Takei kicks ass. Why? Because he is a total sellout. He's always in there like, bye.
My book.
But you know he's a sellout. He's like, hi, I'm George Takei. I was Sulu. That's it. That's all I ever was. And I'm going to milk this bitch until it dies. I have total respect for George Takei. I'm not like William Shatner, who's totally
That's not
talentless.
Entirely true. He did do one other thing in his career.
Which was
what? Was that?
He was in the movie, The Green Berets.
Yeah. Was he a major character?
Yes, he was the major Vietnamese Arvin
guy
liaison between the Green Berets.
Okay, but who fucking cares? Everybody saw that movie and went, hey, that's Sulu, right? That's exactly what happened. I went, hey, it's Sulu in a fucking Green Beret.
Test.
So, you can't diss Sulu. I mean, William Shatner walks around like, oh, I'm TJ Hooker. I'm a cop. I'm fucking whatever. I'm blah, blah, blah. I'm totally talented.
I'm Rescue 911.
I'm Rescue 911. You know. Yeah. And he's even worse than that fucking, that other retard we got the $50 bounty on. Rescue 911.
Like, Seraph John Bunnell?
Yeah, John Bunnell.
By the
Bunnell.
way, it is a standing reward.
$50 million.
Rant radio dollars.
On not the, redeemable anywhere.
Not redeemable anywhere.
For the head of John Bunnell.
The severed head of John
the
Bunnell.
The severed head.
Or?
Well, we can't have it. No. His head. If it's attached to the body still, that's fine.
Or a reasonable
Think of the fun we could have.
If you make a hand-drawn facsimile of George Bunnell and...
Dying or
dead. We will have the George Bunnell drawing page where you must draw interesting ways for George Bunnell to die.
You can't really make a wanted poster that says dying, because otherwise you could just put anyone, bring anyone in, or put a picture of anyone dying or dead, because everybody's dying.
Yeah, but we'd like a collection. It's the George Bunnell Dead Gallery, and we'll like start it up and we'll put it up and have like all these pictures of like...
And we can send them, you know, the web link.
Let's see who's in first place for the dead... Make My Day, a guy's called Make My Day. Doug Wickenheiser is dead.
Who the hell's that?
I have no idea. He's somebody famous. Pee Wee Reese, Alan Funt,
Alan Funt dead?
Wentzelez? Yeah, those are crossed out. They're dead.
Okay. Who's Pee Wee Reese?
No idea.
I don't know.
Sounds like a ball player.
Alan Funt, we know.
Senior Wentzelez, that's...
Hello!
It's all right.
Is he still alive?
Who?
No, he's dead.
These people that are crossed out are dead.
I like Senior Wentzelez.
I know.
Ellen Corby?
I love you, lady.
Does anybody know who Ellen Corby is?
Bob Hope's going down, isn't he?
Bob Hope's getting old, man.
Yep. He's on, like, everyone's list on this.
You better believe it matters to me.
So let's take a look at who is, like, the top of the list for, let's see, the top 40.
Oh, no, well, I don't understand. You have to explain this to me better. What the hell is this?
You basically bet on these people dying.
Right, but what is the list all about?
You get money. You put the first person that you put in your list you think is going to die first, you get the most points for it. And it goes down there. So this is the list of who they think the most will die. Joe DiMaggio was number one. Everyone voted for him. Bob Pope was second.
Boris Yeltsin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Pope John Paul was looking pretty bad for a while there.
Catherine Hepburn.
She's still alive?
Queen Mother? I don't think so.
Yeah, that bitch is hard, man. That bitch is, like, way hard. Like, she will fucking see the new millennium come and go. She will watch fucking Charles and all those little cocksuckers
die.
And that bitch will be like the emperor, man. She'll be like,
we are not amused.
We are not amused. Fuck you. I'm going nowhere. Like, what's the Reaper going to do? Show up and try to claim her ass?
She'll punch him in the throat.
Drag. Fuck off. Yeah.
Evil Knievel's on there.
Evil Knievel? He's not dead yet?
No. No, he's indestructible. His son actually jumped from one... No, not just Candy Canyon. He also did something even more insane. He jumped from the rooftop of one Atlantic City hotel to another one. And
in what city was the other one in?
No, it was in the same city.
Oh, that's impressive.
From one Atlantic City hotel to another.
Right closer.
But just between the two roofs. And it was insane. You should have seen
yeah, I saw it. It was a very bad camera angle.
Yeah, but I was still thinking.
It was amazing.
I was going, there's no way he's going to make this and fucking live.
This is the reason why he's now wearing a turban, because he pulled all his hair out. He was so insane.
It was like Inky when he was going to go off the White Rock on his bike.
And you're like, whoa.
But he didn't. So,
he would have made it.
No, he would.
He would have made it.
But he would have had his.
You guys don't have any faith in our buddy Inky.
Is Keith Richards on
the
list?
He thought he wouldn't have made it.
You would have made it off that rock. I got faith in you, man.
Where's Keith Richards?
Keith Richards. Let's look it up.
I'm sure Keith Richards has got to be on this fucking list.
Elliot Richards. Keith Richards.
One person voted for him.
Keith Richards is going to die.
I guess he's really healthy. I don't know.
No, I don't fucking think so. I think actually what happened.
Okay, so wait.
Keith Richards and Iggy Pop.
You get more
died,
points
like, years ago, and the drugs in their system
for having.
You get 10 entries.
Yeah.
The first entry you get the most points for. So you put at the top who you think will die first.
So all these numbers are just how many people think they're going to die.
That's just how many people voted for these people.
Does it matter how they die?
Nope.
There are some weird rules, because this is a weird
they don't,
game.
I don't,
there's very little rules.
They don't include murder, do they?
Does it include assassination?
Oh, yeah. It's like, they're dead.
What if they're dead. How much money can you win on this?
10 grand.
I think it's 10. It's either 5 or 10 grand.
Fuck. 5, 10 grand? People will kill, like, 10 guys for that.
I know people who kill 10 guys for
shoes.
Yeah, but
you got to get away with it, though. You gotta get away with it.
I live in Canada. I go kill all these Americans.
And 10,000 American.
For what?
10,000 American. That's the point.
Where's the pom pile? Let's do a conversion on that. What is that? 14 grand? That's a down payment on a house.
15 grand.
I'll find Bob Hope's. Fuck, I'd kill Bob Hope for free. Never mind, you know. Seriously, man, the guy's like way too old. Hey, Bob, you can't play golf anymore. You're bald. Fucking die.
For the memories.
Here's another. here's another good.
Go dancing, okay.
Sort of morbid, not really morbid. It's a dead people server. After this, dead people server. If you're going, I wonder if that guy's dead or he's alive or what's happened with him. I remember that guy who was on that show, and he must be dead by now. You can look him up here.
That's so fucking brutal.
There are 1,950 people on here.
Can I have one?
No.
So you just check.
So you could just type in a name. See, there's Payne Stewart. Colorful golfer dead. Asphyxiation at the start of a very long, bizarre plane accident.
Who cares? You know what? They're sitting there, and they're all like, oh, this horrible accident, blah, 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 died. Well, why should we care that some stupid golfer died? Six other people died, and nobody said, oh, those poor other six people died.
I'm going to explain
this. But he's famous.
I'm going to explain this one more time. One more time.
Yep.
People get, when they associate with somebody who's famous, this person is a name and somebody they know. So human beings need tragedy. At least some people do. So when somebody famous dies, they're able to add a little drama to their lives by actually giving a shit about the fact.
I knew him.
Yeah, exactly. Princess die and all the rest of it. As far as I'm concerned, whenever a human being dies, sometimes it's a waste, sometimes it's not. It all depends on the piece of meat you're talking about.
I want Trent Reznor to die so I can see all the Nine Inch Nails fans all die with him.
That'd be pretty good. We should actually.
You know what? Still,
we wouldn't
it's still
Gloom
stupid.
Bunny listening to our show.
She'd be like, Trent.
Gloom Bunny won't kill herself.
For everyone out there mourning for poor Payne Stewart,
Muffin.
Well, that's all you get from me.
I think it's kind of shitty that he's dead, but generally I think that it's really shitty that people in Mexico tie their children so they make better beggars.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think it's shitty that he's dead?
So,
well, because it sucks to be dead.
Have you ever heard of him before this?
No, but he's a fellow human being. It's kind of shitty he's dead.
So, speaking about dead
I couldn't
and
go
South
the
America,
saying,
no, there's
I think it's pretty
segue.
Shitty if anybody's dead.
Has anyone heard about this nut down in Peru?
No.
149 people confirmed, all children, that this nut has been, like, collecting and killing.
Collecting?
I hope he's related.
Well, what is he, like, how does he kill them?
He would get street children or just kids off the street. He would take them in.
So worthless human beings anyways.
Fuck you.
Absolutely. Gotcha.
And
who gives a
and,
shit,
right? No, we're
just
talking about...
Kidding.
A bunch of mud-raised Peruvians, who gives a fuck?
I just guess we'll just call him Mr. Population Control.
And seriously, this guy mutilated, tortured and mutilated 149 kids, and they think they might be able to link him up to 600 murders.
Wow, that's a hobby.
But he's only admitted to 149.
I lost track.
Okay, so here's my question. You've admitted to 149 murders. Why would you not admit to the other 451?
Death penalty. I don't know.
No, he's, one, obviously we're not dealing with the most rational of individuals on the face of the earth.
Fuck that. I sent it to you to Sloth. Good night.
Here's a nice smelly tree.
Too good for him.
It's time for a break.
You get to rot.
It kind of depends on how they're prepared.
Can I make a song dedication, actually, right now?
Okay, we're going to play Monster Mash. Who are you dedicating it to?
No, I'll set up the next song dedication, then please go to Monster Mash. We'll go to the next song after this.
Okay, here's Monster Mash, because it's appropriate.
And it's long.
And promos. Don't forget promos.
We can go take a piss during it.
One of my favorite quotes that I have ever heard spoken to. Trying to think exactly how it went. You used to use it on the front of your promo on your show. That quote that you had from Jell-O. No. Conformity is the.
Spillage night. All right, fuck, my Dr. Pepper isn't spilled yet.
What's over there?
Nothing. Majorly important other than the remote.
Hey.
We're also crossing wires here.
We didn't play any promos.
Okay. Oh, we still got 5 seconds before it's done.
Let's hear it for the DJ. Boo.
Boo.
Well, we're back.
And
And we have another spillage. It's spillage night here on Rant Radio.
Yay.
Check, check, check.
Hey, are we
tonight,
going to...
Tonight, the captain of the Exxon Valdez is...
The blubbery, gooey, dessert-type substance that we have a recording of. Is it, are you going to...
Jell-O?
Yeah.
No, we have no recording of that right now.
What,
that we went to?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's on the video camera. I haven't done anything with it, unfortunately.
But we should share with our listeners that experience.
Can you hear yourself in the microphone?
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
it was,
I can.
It was horrible. You're like this. And
yeah,
but
you know why? Because you went like this. You went, can you hear what
can
I'm
you hear talking? Me now?
Yeah,
now
you're hearing you wonderfully now. But when you talk like this, I can't hear a goddamn thing.
Okay, well, fuck
there,
you.
See? That's
later,
that?
Baby.
Can you hear that?
Later, baby.
Fuck you.
And don't make promises you're not going to keep.
So we went to a concert last night.
Hey, put us on the RC.
Okay, we'll go around the RC.
We went to a
Mr.
spoken
Kennedy.
Word festival.
Yes.
Why do I got to tell a story?
Because, I don't know.
Okay, well.
You tell stories. I don't.
We went and we went to the Spitfire college tour, which actually features a whole series of fucking people. Where's that little booklet thing? Do I have it still? Or what
did
are we
it
doing?
Spill?
No, you took it back. You went, here it is, and I gave it
I
back to you.
I put it somewhere safe.
And it's now very safe there. But anyway, people that are featured on this tour, they're going around to all the colleges. You get a chance to go, by all means, fucking go. It's amazing. They have, like, Ice-T, Jell-O Biafra, Woody Harrelson, all these really hardcore, like, environmentalists, and a couple of people that are just, like, drug addicts and freaks that get up and speak. And there's this one chick who was an MTV, actual American MTV DJ called Kennedy. She calls herself Kennedy, and she named herself after me.
No relation.
And, yeah, she's, I guess she's trying to do a good thing, you know, but...
Getting up on stage and saying something.
She says something, you know, she's trying to speak out, whatever. But the show we went to the other night had Michael Filati, and I probably fucked his name up, which really sucks.
Michael Filente.
And holy fuck, if he's actually tuned in tonight, I'm going to be more embarrassed than God, because the guy kicks more ass than anyone I've ever met. He's just huge. He was the lead singer of the Disposable Heroes of Hypocrisy on the alternative.
Now he's on Spearhead. He's with Spearhead.
So he's with Spearhead now, which I'm going to
yet.
Go buy everything that they fucking ever put out just out of principle, because the guy kicks that much ass. But anyway, so he was there, and he did some stuff. He did some just free a cappella rap, which sounded fucking amazing. When
great
he did.
Story.
The guy's like a huge poet. So he was up there, and he was talking. It was awesome. It was awe-inspiring. We had front row seats, and we had fucking videotape of the whole goddamn thing, and it was awesome. We're going to put it up on radio.
They didn't care if you videotaped?
No, they were all very cool with it. It was $10 to get in. I couldn't fucking believe it. Next person that got up was this chick named something. She was like a 70s drug reject who, like, did punk music and was very cool.
Yep.
And said the most twisted poem about America tripping. And she was really kind of like Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. But it was very cool nonetheless. So, and then Kennedy got up, and she started to say some shit, but she didn't say anything. She, like, gets up and goes, I'm going to do impersonations of the other people on the fucking stage, throw some candy in the crowd, and does anybody have anything they want to say to the crowd? And I'm like, sure, I have something to fucking say.
Was a big non-event.
She was a total non-issue. And I jump up, and I get on stage, and my first action is, of course, to go over and shake Jell-O Biafra's hand and say, you rock. Okay, because I didn't give a fuck about anything else. Now I had to perform, so I had to do this poem on stage. And I'd written this poem about heroin addiction, and unfortunately, I forgot the poem halfway through it. So there I am on stage with 300 fucking people looking at me,
sure.
And I'm done this sure. poem, and I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm there. And then this Kennedy bitch is going, they're going to turn on you. If you don't finish the poem, they're going to turn on you. And I'm like, thank you very the fuck much. So then I go freelance, and I, like, just come up with something, and it actually sounded okay. Whatever. I didn't look like a total fool. I only looked like a partial fool.
I didn't know he made it up. So it was like, wow.
Anyway,
you made that up?
But,
I thought you remembered it.
And Michael comes up to me and gives me this big hug and says, you got total guts, you're an awesome fucking guy, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, holy shit, I'm like totally honored to even like be standing like next to you, never mind anything else. So it was very cool that way. And after, then Jell-O gets up and he dominates the whole goddamn thing because he's the most intelligent guy there, easily. And then afterwards, Jell-O comes down and sits down in a big chair, and we all sit around Jell-O like grandpa telling fucking
chat
stories.
For 45 minutes.
And we like are talking with him like, hey, Jell-O, how's it going? Not bad. And a lot of people say, you know, well, some people are sellouts or blah, blah, blah. This is an interesting story where Jell-O Biafra is currently being sued by former members of his band. And the reason why he's being sued is because Levi's wanted to use Holiday in Cambodia in a commercial. And Jell-O was like, hey, I got an idea. Why don't you go fuck yourself? You're not going to use my goddamn song in your corporate fucking commercial, okay? So suck it. And I said to Jello, I go, wow, you know, that's pretty mighty that because you lost a lot of fucking money there. And he goes, I didn't lose any money. I just didn't make any money. That's not, I don't want Levi's money. Fuck them, is what he said, quote unquote.
Great.
And I'm like, holy shit, man.
I wish I got that on tape, but the batteries run out.
That was walking
you
the
suck.
Walk. No, it was huge, Desmond. He got so much good shit. Like, oh my God, he got so
two
much.
And 2.5 hours of
two and a half hours of, cool. of everything. It's stellar. And it was just awesome that we were able to talk with him and we got it all there.
You can ask any question we wanted. Just there he
like,
is.
Hey, and I was asking where I could get a copy of Terminal City Ricochet. I'm like, hey Jello, where can I get a copy of this fucking movie you did? And he's like, oh, I'm in litigation over that too. Like, fucking oh. guys in litigation over everything, man. I'm like, holy fuck.
Welcome to America.
Like, sucks to be you. I know. So whatever. But that was very cool, and not to toot my own horn more than I already have, but I just thought it was more than mighty that I got up on stage with two, like, total fucking icons. And it kind of shows, like, you know, I'm probably more of a dipshit than anything else. So I'm like,
clang,
oh, so
clang, clang.
Oh, I know, it's brutal. But the thing that made me feel better was most of the other people who got up and said really intelligent things like, you're so cool, and I love you.
I'm really glad you could come here.
I'm glad you're here. And this one chick got up, and she says, Vegan now, where are you? I work in the cafeteria, and we eat turkey, and I see the students coming, and they eat turkey, and I feel bad for you. And it was just, it was pretty fucking painful. And, you know, not to call these people down. I mean, it's important to get up and open your mouth and say something. I mean, kudos to her, because at least she had the balls to stand up and say something, because the majority of people just sat there with blue hair and thought they were fucking, you know. All
yeah, but you know what? They were
shit.
Smart enough to go, wow, I don't have anything to say, so I should probably just sit here and rather than get up and say nothing.
You can look at it.
I'd rather have somebody get up and make a noise rather than sit there and be silent.
I'd rather someone sit there and be silent if they have nothing to say.
Everybody's
that's why I
silent.
Hang up on people.
Better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to
open
speak
your mouth
and remove all doubt.
Right. I'm a big fan of Metallica there. It's like, too bad I don't have that riff, like, just cute and ready to go. That, I got something to say. You know that one? That's a good tune. I killed your baby today. It doesn't matter how much to me. Sorry.
It's time to phone the movie man.
Movie man, movie man, movie man, movie man, movie man,
movie man, movie man.
He's on vacation, isn't he?
That was way too stereo, Desmond. We had that like.
I don't know.
Was he here last week?
Yeah.
Well, let's phone him.
You were here last week.
Okay. Well, he sent me. I was talking to him last night. He was trying to get Rant Radio.
Yeah. He ICQ'd me too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
call him anyways if he's there.
He didn't tell me that he was away. Did he say he was on vacation or something?
He's not going anywhere.
Okay.
He has no life.
He never goes anywhere.
His responsibility
he was
to
in
his
the States.
Job.
He was in the States, wasn't he?
Yeah,
that was a few weeks ago, wasn't it?
All I know is yesterday.
Let's speculate.
Yesterday I was trying to figure out why we couldn't get his computer to work. But you know what?
Let's sit and speculate for a while.
It was either a 46 or pre. So there are 486 or a pre 486.
Ooh, danger.
A post 4. He has a pre 486.
He doesn't have anything, but his friend.
I have a watch bigger than a 486.
My friend.
Here's the movie, man.
What are you making fun of? I'm lost as to what you're talking about.
I have an abacus. It's faster.
I'm not making fun of anything, dude.
Wow. I must have just imagined
you
all
some
that.
Issues, man. You're making fun of me. Were you about to call me an asshole?
I know you're all the way on the other side of the table, but I have two knives. I can throw one.
No, I wasn't about to call you an asshole.
Movie man.
It's Ryan.
It's the chicken.
It's the blue chicken.
It's the guy. Okay, it's a chicken. What? Hey, chicken.
Hey.
What's happening?
Cooked lunch.
Why are you there?
Because my buddy has just got home and he's leaving from his place in Alder Grove like now.
Oh, okay. So you are coming.
Yeah, we are coming.
Very cool. Are you in garb?
Or maybe you're just breathing hard.
I've got the dopest fucking costume ever.
The dopest?
The dopest?
Don't just ruin it for the listeners now. They're going to have to see me over the radio.
Just saying blue hair is not enough.
Are you coming over here?
Yeah.
All right.
Are you going to come?
I'm coming over in full regalia.
Is the movie man there?
No, he's away.
As I suspected. Where is he away? Somewhere
in Idaho.
In Idaho.
Yeah.
Can we get that phone number? Where they farm dirt.
If you want.
No, we
don't. I've got
you don't?
It.
Come on, what is it?
Bone, Idaho.
I don't know if that'd be such a good idea.
Why not?
Because he's staying with friends of his. And he might not welcome a call at whatever time it is.
It's only an hour later.
So would
it's
that,
only an hour later.
Would that be his own private Idaho?
Oh.
I don't know. That was a bad movie.
Bad puns. Do you have the number?
Stuff your arms back in.
Okay. Don't call him. Don't fucking call him. They got a young baby. Don't call him.
Yeah, okay.
My cat shit for that.
Okay.
So yeah. We'll blame it on drag.
If it wasn't for the fact that they didn't have a baby,
I don't
take that blame.
For you myself,
have a baby.
I'm sorry.
No, don't. They have a baby.
They have a baby. Don't fuck with people when they get.
We've already determined it. You can stop worrying your little pretty little head.
You're the one with the garb on there available.
I'm not worried at all.
What does that have to do with worrying your pretty little head?
No, you have a prettier little head than he does. Prettier head.
Yes, but my head isn't worrying and yours is, so that's why I was referring to yours. Mine's actually right out of the picture.
What does that sound?
What's that sound?
Yeah.
It's a sound.
Anyways, I'll be over, like, in within half an hour, 40 minutes or something like that.
Sure.
All right.
Okay.
Sure thing. Oh. Drex, you're too quick on the button.
No.
So what you're saying is he's premature on the button.
Yes, he's very premature on the button. So does anybody have any scary movies they'd like
premature
to review?
Premature buttulation.
I actually have a list of scary movies that are must-sees.
Okay.
Off the top of my fucking head.
Do one.
First
your
one is VeggieTales.
VeggieTales.
One must-see.
Killer movie.
Killer.
It's got tomatoes.
Okay, well, there's different kinds of scary movies. One of my favorite movies was actually Jeffrey Dahmer's favorite movie.
Yeah.
And he actually used to watch this before he killed someone every time. Mm-hmm. And that is, in fact, not Exorcist 1, but Exorcist 3. Now, the second one sucks dick for drug money. It's taking serious coupons for blowing goats. Okay, don't even go see it. But the third one has, like, some really heinous, heinous dialogue in it. And it's awesome. It's a very good movie. But it's a different kind of scare, right? It's not like jumping shit out at you. It's like a creep out. A movie that is a good classic scary film is
The Haunting.
The Haunting sucks major ass. The Haunting blew major ass.
Not the new Haunting, the 1960s.
Oh, that Haunting. I haven't actually seen that one. George C. Scott's
The Changeling.
The Changeling.
That is one of the.
I saw a cape. I sat with Bula Bula and watch this with Sean. This was supposed to be really scary. We turned all the lights off. Ooh. I was holding Bula Bula's mouth so that she would not embarrass herself in front of Kennedy as he was, like, going really intently, ooh, this is scary. Ooh.
I disagree with you. I think it's one of the better psychological ghost stories.
Yeah, if you have an IQ above 90... it's really scary.
Oh. Oh.
I was. Who just said Blair Witch? Skip, fucking die. Skip Radio, fuck you and die.
I agree with Skip Radio. I think Blair Witch was actually scary.
Blair Witch didn't scare me. However, the end of the film, the last scene in the film did give me a nice, you know, hair standing on end, creepy feeling.
See, I don't understand that. A nice, creepy feeling. It was a nice, enjoyable, tingly, creepy feeling.
Yes, it was.
It kind of made me like the movie because I've been looking for that nice, tingly, creepy feeling, and I've been feeling a little left out in the movie, but right at the end it gave me that nice little bit of creepy,
feeling. Hello, lump fucker.
Okay, hang on. Let's not turn this into it. Let's just keep going with more scary movies.
No. But basically, no, when you go to see a horror film, you want it to scare you.
This is on topic.
You want to be frightened by a horror film. And as for Night of the Living Dead, it's a classic, both the original and the remake directed by...
I wouldn't say it was scary. It's pretty cool. It's very
Tom
cool.
Savini. It's a very...
It's not scary. I think it's really a cool
movie.
It's
a very cool movie.
No, when the film first came out in the 1960s and the 1970s, it was scary.
As hell. Yeah.
Dawn of the Dead, when I was like 12 years old and I saw it for the first time, it gave me nightmares for months.
Well, when you're young, yeah.
Hey, you know the movies that
you
know,
we just think about shopping.
Scare me a little bit? Are the really old black and white films?
They're a little creepy, yeah.
Because, like, you can't see what's going on.
If anyone ever has a chance...
Black, it's white!
If anyone ever has a chance to see the original Cat People, this is the black and white 1941 Cat People. I think it was 1941, wasn't it? 42, okay.
Dead Alive. Morgue Sith, Dead Alive. I've seen Dead Alive. I saw the edited version. Dead Alive. Oh, I kick ass for the Lord. Yeah, okay. Like, the Dead Alive movie, if you can get the original...
Uncut.
I imagine it's good. Uncut is probably good. We saw the cut one, which is like 5 minutes long. And because it's so...
Flash.
Old movies kick ass, but the new ones suck. Okay, anyway. On with more scary films. Another one which fucked me up so bad in the theater that I almost caused Desmond to kill three people down there.
Including him.
Including me was Jacob's Ladder. Jacob's Ladder fucked with me hard.
Just that one scene. At least.
Where with that thing, the middle of the thing was the thing just made shakes.
Yeah, that's right. That was touches the mirror.
I wouldn't have been more than maybe startled, but I have bad peripheral vision. So, but Sean here flips out, throws his arms and legs into the air, you know, like literally danced in the air for half
it's
a second.
Such a freaky visual. It's like something that can't happen.
Which is this?
Jacob's Ladder?
I was
Jacob's
about to ladder. Punch him through the screen.
It's fucking scary. A movie
Lawnmower Man?
Lawnmower Man, I have a hard-on for that movie. I want to be that guy. But anyway.
It's not scary.
A movie that actually fucked me up, and a lot of people may think that I'm a retard, whatever. I saw it in the theater, and it was different when you saw it in the theater, because when we see it in the theater, they amplify certain things louder than other things, was Event Horizon. I almost walked out of the fucking movie in Event Horizon because shit kept on going, gah, gah. And every time I go, gah, I'm jerking. And my heart's going into fucking palpitation. I had nausea happening. I'm like, holy fuck, I don't know if I can make it through this movie.
As me and Brian said, when we saw the original, we went and saw Event Horizon together. The first two acts that was him clipping a glass, I think.
Okay. It was yet another example of Hollywood making a movie without a third act.
Yeah,
it just falls apart.
It was like the
first two thirds were fucking great.
Yeah,
it was like
especially I just watched it.
We got two thirds of the way through. This is gonna be a good one, and then it
turns to shit on you. Yeah, yeah. I know.
I just saw it the other day, and once again that scene where Larry Fishburne is standing in his vac suit, and just the glove slips by the side of his helmet, and he flips out. I nearly jumped over the back of my chair.
Event Horizon was a very
I've never seen that movie.
It's a very
scary on my list, though. I believe. Better be.
Yeah,
but
constantly thumps the
end of it is such a disappointment. It's so...
Not really. I kind of like the Cthulian sort of endings that they have in these kind of films.
No, it wasn't that. It was just, rather than let's have an intelligent, psychological horror film, let's just throw a lot of special effects at you because we don't really respect you.
Okay, you know what I hated about the movie? The end disappointed me, too. Okay, I'm not going to try and save it for people. Okay, you have this horrible, evil place that they've been transported to and then back or something like that,
yes.
Right? And then I'm like freaked out. This is freaking the shit out of me. And then they go, oh, it's hell, and I go...
Oh, yeah. Why'd you have to make it hell?
Why did you have to ground it to Earth? We're in space.
Because if
it's
you...
Because hell, I can cope with hell because I have an idea what hell is.
There was...
They had said, it's this horrible, horrible, nasty place, and I had no idea what it was, and that was way scarier
than
good enough for
me, right?
Way scarier
there
than
was
saying
one.
It was hell.
Like, okay, it's like the haunting... I've only actually heard this. But something to the effect of they're in this room, it's dark, it's scary, it's bumping around and stuff, and this woman is screaming. She's like, why are you holding my hand so tight? Stop holding my hand so tight. And she's in a room with another woman, and they're screaming together, and then everything stops. The lights come on, and they're opposing, like, sides of the room. Like, ooh, that kind of scare. Like, scare the shit out of you scare because it doesn't explain things.
That's
you know,
right.
Yeah,
that's right. When they
as soon as they start explaining shit,
hell.
You're like,
it's midichlorians. It's midichlorians.
Okay. There is one thing that I did like with the thing after they said hell. There was one line.
Put it this way. Your mind will fill in the blanks far better than they ever
that's
could.
Right.
That's exactly it.
Yep. It's like a book, right?
Yeah, yes.
You're making it up. You're making
the line. The line, however, I did like is where Sam Neill is talking to Fishburne, and he says, "Hell is so much worse than you can imagine." That line I like mainly because of having been brought up a Catholic, I have that whole grounding in hell and damnation and the whole thing.
But still,
I agree with you.
Having no explanation for it at all. There's stuff happening, and I'm like, well, wow, I wonder how this, whatever evil it is, knows to fuck with people like this. But then it's just hell, so I'm like, that's sort of...
Kind of a downer.
Grounding,
It
brings us back to Earth,
I'm
in space. I'm quite happy that I'm in space.
The idea is that by taking the normal, or actually a setting where you would not normally find that type of basic horror idea of hell, of demons, of that type of damnation, and placing it in a space science fiction movie,
it's supposed to give it, take it out of its element and then give it a bit more fear. And I agree with you, it is stupid in naming it, but people have this habit of naming things. You have to name something, it seems. You have to describe it. You can't just allow something not to be described.
I totally disagree with you.
I'm just saying this is how people and how theaters and movies work.
Okay, they're wrong.
They feel... No, never mind.
I can't speak tonight.
It's time for movie quotes.
Mort Sith, why do people keep bringing up movies that are like... They're like, Blah was good, but it wasn't scary. We're talking about scary movies.
I think the point that Dak was trying to make was that Hollywood loves to spoon feed you.
Oh yeah.
Explanations.
Yes.
And
yes. They like to make pablum.
They assume that you're a retard.
They assume everybody is a retarded 12-year-old.
Yeah.
Well, true. Welcome to America.
Welcome to America. That's
like
what they are.
The way American sitcoms work. It's like. You get the warning signs. The joke is coming in 5 minutes.
And here's the last
30 seconds
track.
To the joke. The joke is happening now.
Laugh
you
track,
have just
turn
heard
off.
A joke.
Soon a joke will be coming again. Please prepare yourselves.
Hot men fall down funny.
Yeah, we've done studies. Every
now they have the internet on computers.
Look, the guy got hit by a football in the groin. So many levels.
It's time for movie quotes, and you know how this works. We turn it down, and it's movie quote. It's themes. They're from horror movies.
Ooh. Is there a scream?
Wow, am I ever going to pick this apart?
Here's the movie quotes. We're turning it down for the people in the studio here.
Okay.
And remember to keep it to yourself.
Keep it to yourself until all three have played.
We will believe you.
No master was ever like this. Superhuman strength, unkillable, like a machine. We didn't stand a chance. So tell me if I'm wrong, Cardinal. But couldn't he be the one that we always talked about? The one that we knew would come along one day?
Maybe. Just maybe my boys can stop.
Is there a tape in there?
Oh,
no, wait, there isn't. There's no tape in there.
Maybe I'm a Chinese.
He did put a tape in there.
Isn't that the tape?
Eternal abandonment causes serious deviant behavior. So they
you know what?
You have to make you have sex with a psychopath.
I asked you if that was the right tape, like three times.
If you tipped over Joe,
I gotta die.
I killed you. You guys were there.
I think.
I taped all over it.
If James taped over him talking to Jell-O, I think James would fucking kill himself.
Yeah.
James would go
no,
to the bathroom.
No, it was at the end.
He would
that's
flush
why
himself
flashing,
down the
right?
toilet. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So I have to
I would take
the tape
out just in case the machine goes, rewind to the beginning and start taping.
No, it doesn't do that. It just
well,
goes,
it
I'm turning off.
Humor me.
Okay, no.
Somebody talk.
La, la, la,
like,
la, la.
Like that's an issue.
Okay, I'm gonna turn up the volume now, and everyone in here.
Armies
okay.
of Darkness was the
we're
gonna
play the clips again so that we can hear them because we didn't hear them last time we turned down the volume. So you guys get a chance because there's that old delay thing happening.
And here we go.
Here they go.
No master was ever like this. Superhuman strength, unkillable, like a machine. We didn't stand a chance. So tell me if I'm wrong, Cardinal. But couldn't he be the one that we always talked about? The one that we knew would come along one day.
Maybe. Just maybe my boys can stop me from getting the book. Yeah. Maybe I'm a Chinese jet pilot.
Eternal abandonment causes serious deviant behavior. Certainly fucked you up and made you have sex with a psychopath.
That's right. You gave it up. Now you're no longer a virgin. You're a virgin. Now you gotta die. Those are the rules.
Okay.
I know what that one is.
Not only can I tell you what all three films were, I can tell you the actors' names in the first two. The last one I can't tell you because they're not really actors and they don't count as human beings.
Can't reveal. Hey, what are you doing? Okay, there you go.
So who gets to guess? Do we
you're
all
recording?
Get...
You put a different tape in?
Okay. So who
gets... October 31st, 1999.
Who gets to go?
It's
the last October 31st of 99...
Test. It's okay. Millennium October.
Okay.
Let's see if the people on the IRC got... No, we do it here first, right?
Yeah.
First and the last.
Okay.
Okay.
First
one was James Woods in Vampires.
Ding.
Second one was Bruce Campbell in Army of Darkness.
Ding.
And the third one was the movie Scream with those two annoying killers.
Ding.
Yeah.
Let's see who got all three on the internet first. And it helps to be on the same IRC server as me. Oh, way too far. Oh, shit, I know tree first one. All right, thanks, Lieutenant Major Zombie.
I know it's James Woods. Scream, Critical S got... Oh, Army of Darkness. Mord Sith got that one first. Critical S got Scream.
Did anybody get Vampires?
Let's see. Nobody got Vampires besides me.
Let's see who got Vampires.
I got it.
I know you knew
it
all. Three of them. I think everyone here knew what it
Nobody
was.
Nobody got Vampires.
Wow. What is with you people?
Our listeners suck.
They're smart, and they didn't go see that horrible movie.
I guess Mord Sith wins.
I'm sorry, I'd have to say that Vampires was cool for one scene only, where the guys, like, they spear a vampire, and they're dragging him out to the sunlight, and he's emptying a 9mm on his face, going, fucking die, die, fucking die. That was
good. Yeah, but you know what?
It's not a great movie.
I thought that scene sucked, too.
There's actually an interesting story.
I didn't think that guy was believable through the entire movie. Not a single scene in that movie.
There was actually... Okay, go ahead, Brian.
The author of the book that it was based... John Stakely. Visited the set and got to hang out for a day or two with James Woods, and Woods would just walk around and say, fuck, I wish we were doing the book. Fuck, I wish we were doing the book. Fuck, I wish we were doing the book.
And that's all he'd do.
He wanted to do the book. The problem was that the budget was cut by 2/3 just before they went into production. So John Carpenter, being the egomaniac he is, also decided, well, fuck, I have to rewrite this.
In the book, the way they handle the vampires is the coolest I have ever read. Instead of doing that, they blow up the house during the middle of the noon.
That's
they
the way
blow,
to do it.
Blow up the house. They get a crane, and
boom,
they pull parts out until finally they expose the vampire.
There's one.
And before it has a chance to run away, that's when they put the giant crossbows with the through the thing and then attach it to a hoist onto a crane and drag it screaming into the sky as it burns.
Not enough budget for the crane, I guess.
John Stakely has written four short novels, four short stories, and two novels. Armor, which is a blatant, obvious, to his own admittance, ripoff of Robert Heinlein's Starship Troopers. The original book, not the bad movie. And Vampires. Read both of them. Stakely is the hardest kick-ass author in the history of the world.
We have to say Derek's name.
He's also from
Texas. Who did you say?
John Stakely.
And he wrote Starship Troopers?
He wrote Armor, which is a blatant ripoff to his own admission. He says he basically read Starship Troopers, thought it was the most kick-ass story he ever read, and basically wanted to copy it. And the first novel he ever wrote was Armor, which is about 1,000 pages, which I think almost everyone of an older group of my friends I know has a copy of the book or has read it multiple times.
Can I borrow it?
Yes. It is. I even know where it is. It kicks ass. Seriously, you will love this book.
Can you get it for me tonight?
Books.
I like the name.
Armor. Oh, yes. Right. We're having a little storytelling tonight.
Stupid.
We don't like to say Shazbot's stupid.
Shazbot, you're stupid.
And we've got a new listener.
You suck dog's nipples.
Yes, I agree with you, Shazbot. The movie did suck. We're talking about the book.
No, the movie kicked ass.
The movie did kick ass, especially when they censored
it. It depends on your outlook.
You're right,
you
I'm a loser. Starship Troopers rocked. Rocked me to sleep.
If you were expecting the book, well, then yeah, you'd be disappointed. But I wasn't, so I wasn't disappointed.
When I read Starship Troopers for the first time, it had nothing to do with the aliens or the power armor that I thought was cool. I read that for the first time when I was 12 years old, and I based my entire sense of justice on Heinlein's discussion in the middle on why capital punishment...
That's what the book was about. It wasn't about aliens and Starship Troopers. It was about his fucked up view on life and his...
I'm sorry, to this day, I still believe my argument on why capital punishment is a good idea comes directly from Heinlein's comments in Starship Troopers.
You do realize he was Republican.
Yes, I know he's Republican, and I know he was also a draconian fascist. But I've said that when it comes to certain subjects...
But he gave blood occasionally, so that makes it okay.
On the subject of books, Sean Kennedy is going to read a passage or chapter or whatever he wants from his horror novel, horror short story. He can introduce it.
It is actually a novel. Actually, I think...
CD.
Oh, here's a CD. Here you go.
I just want to say one thing about Sean's book.
Well, give her a mic.
I could not read this book in the dark.
It's that scary.
I
couldn't read it in the dark either.
I have great difficulty reading books when it's dark.
No, that's not what I meant.
can't see the pages.
Get a Braille copy,
I tried and I tried and I tried, but no matter how.
No.
Ow! Hey, I was defending you.
Oh.
Yes, I was.
Shy
I just
one?
Hit him for
hey,
you.
Hey. By the way, your disguise, we can all see right through it, eh? We know exactly what you look like. It's
so, John Kay's going to read something. He can introduce it. Go
the
for
not
it.
So shy one.
What are we listening to? What's going on?
But you said you would do it less.
Me. We're doing me now. No, we're going to do a musical intro, and then we're going to have someone else intro the book and what they thought of it. And then we're going to go to this because I have to find the chapter that I'm going to do.
What we thought of it.
No.
Okay, we're going to do the story from
we're
gonna
do
Neil
a story.
Gaiman.
Neil Gaiman's.
We're going to do a track from a CD.
Spoken Word.
Spoken Word. And the guy's called Neil Gaiman.
Night vision goggles.
Again, while we're waiting for this, if you're listening and you're not on the IRC, which is the chat channel, go to www.rantradio.com.
Hey, Hambone.
And click on the little chat button.
Hey, Hambone.
And then you can see what everybody's saying.
That's right.
It's really not all that great, but, you know.
It's more than nothing.
It's more than nothing. And
you can also see us.
You can see us if you check out the webcam.
At
make sure you do that.
www.rantradio.com.
That's right.
Which track is it?
And anyways, you can talk
to
us. I like
baby
cakes,
but should I do Cold Colors?
Cold?
I would go for Cold Colors.
Okay, we'll
do Cold
Colors.
It's more in doing with the date.
Okay, I'm going to skip the musical intro thing that he does because it's kind of tedious.
Actually, have you heard about the new...
Cold as a witch's tit these days is running. You'd never think it was November.
What's going on?
And from underground, the sounds of trains...
Is the stereo...
Tube trains are almost legendary in these times, stopping only for those...
I don't...
The pure of heart.
Okay, we're having technical difficulties at the moment. Please bear with us.
Maybe you get a postcard.
Oh, there it is. Okay, everyone, shut the hell up.
Looking down any chasm demonstrates conclusively there is around my old used to be part of. Woken at 9 o'clock by the postman, who turns out not to be the postman, but an itinerant seller of pigeons. Crying, fat pigeons, pure pigeons, dove white, slate grey, living, breathing pigeons. None of your reanimated muck here, sir. I have pigeons and to spare, and I tell him so. He tells me he's new in this business. Used to be part of a moderately successful financial securities analysis company, but was laid off, replaced by a computer RS-232'd to a quartz sphere. Still, mustn't grumble. One door opens, another one slams. Got to keep up with the times, sir. Got to keep up with the times. He thrusts me a free pigeon. To attract new custom, sir. Once you've tried one of our pigeons, you'll never look at another. And struts down the stairs, singing, pigeons alive-o, alive, alive-o. 10 o'clock. After I've bathed and shaved. Unguents of eternal youth and of certain sexual attraction applied from plastic vessels. I take the pigeon into my study. I refresh the chalk circle around my old Dell 310, hang wards at each corner of the monitor, and do what is needful with the pigeon. Then I turn the computer to on. It chugs and hums. Inside it fans blow like storm winds on old oceans, ready to drown poor merchantmen. Auto-exec complete. It bleeps. I'll do. I'll do. I'll do. Walking through familiar London, or what was familiar London, before the cursor deleted certain certainties, I watch a suit and tie man giving suck to the Scion organizer lodged in his breast pocket, its serial interface like a cool mouth hunting his chest for sustenance. Familiar feeling. And I'm watching my breath steam in the air. Cold as a witch's tit these days is London. You'd never think it was November. And from underground, the sounds of trains rumble. mysterious. Tube trains are almost legendary in these times, stopping only for virgins and the pure of heart. First stop, Avalon, Lyonnais, or the Isles of the Blessed. Maybe you get a postcard, and maybe you don't. Anyway, looking down any chasm demonstrates conclusively there is no room under London for subways. I warm my hands at a pit. Flames lick upward. Far below, a smiling demon spots me, waves, mouths carefully, as one does to the deaf or distant or to foreigners. Its sales performance is spotless. It mimes a Dwaro clone. Mimes software beyond my wildest, Albertus Magnus, archived on 3 floppies, Claviculi Solomon for VGA, CGA, 4-color, or monochrome. Mimes and mimes and mimes. The tourists lean over the riftways to hell, staring at the damned. Perhaps the worst part of damnation. Eternal torture is bearable in noble silence alone, but an audience, eating crisps and chips and chestnuts, an audience who aren't even really that interested. They must feel like something at the zoo, the damned. Pigeons flutter around hell, dancing on the updrafts, race memory perhaps telling them that somewhere around here there should be 4 lions, unfrozen water, 1 stone man above. The tourists cluster around. One does a deal with the demon. A 10-pack of blank floppies for his soul. One has recognized a relative in the flames and is waving. Cooey! Cooey! Uncle Joseph! Look, Narissa, it's your great-uncle Joe that died before you was born. That's him down there in the slough, up to his eyes in boiling scum with the worms crawling in and out of his face. Such a lovely man. We all cried at his funeral. Wave to your uncle, Narissa, wave to your uncle. The pigeon man lays limed twigs on the cracked paving stones, then sprinkles breadcrumbs and waits. He raises his cap to me. This morning's pigeon, sir. I trust it was satisfactory. I allow that it was, and toss him a golden shilling, which he touches surreptitiously to the iron of his gauntlet, checking for fairy gold, then palms. Tuesdays, I tell him. Come on Tuesdays. Bird-legged cottages and
I
think it went over our audience's heads.
That's the end of that. We should have played the baby one. That was short and brutal. And now we're going to hear from Sean Kennedy. Actually, he's still focused in on you the whole time. And he's going to read a passage from a short story of, or novel or whatever you want to call it from A Bloodstained
Novella.
Rabbit.
Novella.
Novella.
I think it's like what anyone says. This is actually a short novel.
A
it
short
is not
novel.
A novella. It took me 3 fucking years to write it. Actually, 5 years, technically. And this was part of the dream that I had that I was one day going to be a writer, which, of course, means that I haven't been published. But I do have letters of rejection.
Yeah, which
and
is cool.
My number one
which
letter...
Which makes him a writer.
Which actually makes me a writer, but not an author. And my number one letter of rejection, I'd like to say, comes from those fucks at Pride Press. And what they did, they didn't have the goddamn dignity to send me a real letter of rejection. What they did is where they took somebody else's manuscript, photocopied quarter-sized pieces of rejection on each page, and then cut it in a paper cutter and slid it into my page. I've saved it. It's that fucking priceless. So that if I ever actually do make God's own amount of money selling my, you know, worthless babbling and tripe.
That's like the introduction page.
Yeah, it'll be like my introduction page. And to those fucks at Pride Press who... Okay, you know when you photocopy something? Right, and you can like tile it so there's like 4 quarter segments on one page. You don't even photocopy 4 pages. You just and then you cut it with a paper cutter. Well, when you turn the page over on the photocopy part, there's like a chunk of somebody else's manuscript that they sent them, and they just cut it up and use it as photocopy.
And the same dignity will go to his story, I'm sure, as well.
No, they sent mine back. Oh. Thank fuck, because if they didn't, I would have just gone mail bomber on their ass. And a lot of people, I used to be
free Ted Kaczynski.
I used to really be concerned that people would like steal my story, because when you write, I don't know how many writers are listening, but when you do write, you get this really weird ego thing that you have to copyright your story, because God forbid someone might think that your story was good enough to steal. Whereas, you know, it's not a bad story, whatever. I mean, it's a fledgling killer's first attempt. But, I mean, you go and you look at this now, and if some asshole actually took my book, stole it, published it, and made money on it, I would show up at that fucker's house and go, hi, who am I and why am I here? I don't know, slash, who am I and why am I here? You're the writer of the book I stole, and why am I here? Because you want all the money. That's right.
All the money.
I am that twisted fuck.
Okay, this happened to me. I started writing a movie.
Right.
And then a TV show came out 2 weeks after I started filming it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. That was the exact...
Which one was it? Which show?
The Gun. The television show.
The name
was
the same.
The name was the same. They had a .45 revolver, the same, and the story was, this is the story. The only thing connecting each episode was the gun. It would pass from whatever, and that was the only thing connecting the stories.
I'm not doubting for you it was an original idea, and then you basically saw it on television, but the first time I heard this premise was from an EC comic from the 1950s.
But that's okay.
But that was long before I was born.
I didn't say you didn't basically come up with it on your own.
No, and don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that they stole it. I'm just saying that it was really horrible.
It sucks when that happens.
And the thing that made it the worst was that the show sucked.
And it didn't.
And I could have told. And I knew it was going to suck as soon as I heard they were doing it, because you can't possibly make that idea.
And it didn't even make it to the Internet Movie Database.
How shitty is that? The truth of the matter is.
No, that's good.
The
thing is, I knew it was going to suck because, well, when your entire premise is a gun, you can't do it on television. It has to be incredibly violent and gory and with foul language and breasts and stuff.
Actually, if anyone wants to see what television can be when you do it well, check out HBO's The Oz. But let's get on to Sean actually reading his story, because that's
not
what
real television. That's HBO.
Well, I'm not actually going to read the whole goddamn thing. Okay, first off, the book is titled The Bloodstained Rabbit, which a lot of people are going to go, what the fuck? And if you really don't like it, that's all great. And if you do like it, then maybe I'll make it available to download so that you can actually read the whole fucking thing. It's about 135 pages, 8x10 text, so it translates out to about 250 novel-sized pages, roughly 250, 275, yep. Some shit like that. Anyway, and this is my first book. The second book I've been working on, and when I say working on, that means that once every 3 weeks I pick it up, read a few words, maybe add a sentence, and then go with my I'm writing a book sort of adage. But meanwhile, you know, I'm horribly torqued. Oh, there's a phone call. Say it by the bell.
One second. Hi, you're on Rant Radio. Who is this?
Lieutenant Major Zombie.
Hi,
you're
Lieutenant.
You're interrupting us.
You're interrupting us.
It's not time to call.
I just want to say a couple things, all right?
Okay, Sam, later.
No, he has something to say.
I just want to say something to this guy on the MIC, Hambone 14. I say one thing. Go to hell.
Wow, this is not the fucking... feud show.
Say it on the IRC.
He's on the IRC. You can talk to him there.
Okay. No more phone calls. We're going to listen to the story. Take it away.
Great. And if you think this sucks ass, then great. All right. But anyway, this is chapter 13, halfway through. Chapter 13 of The Bloodstained Rabbit, read by the author, Sean Kennedy, because no one else will. Top of the chapter, heading. Paragraph 4. If a man does evil for the sake of a god... Oh, that's good.
You're on Rant Radio. Who is this?
Hey, it's Bluehead.
Who? Chicken.
Chicken. Oh, it's outside.
Oh. Was it outside?
Are you outside?
No, I'm not. I'm still at home, and my ride is just leaving from Aldergrove now.
It's too late.
Yeah, I know. Ask me how fucking impressed I am.
How impressed are you?
Not very fucking impressed, my god.
He's not listening, is he?
No, he's probably, like, starting up the car right now, and was quicker, he'd be driving down here.
Ah, yeah.
Okay, so you're going to be late.
You're
going to
be late?
Yeah, quite probably.
So say what now? Right.
Are you guys still going to be, like, up and about, or what?
If you... 11 o'clock's the cutoff.
Yeah, well...
So...
Time check.
Then we go to bed.
I could, but I can't get in touch with them, otherwise I'd get them to meet you over where you're at.
Punish him by not being there when he shows up. Anyways, we got to go. Talk to you later. Bye.
Brutal.
Right. Can we turn the ringer off?
I'll just
ignore it.
I'll just go with it.
All right. Chapter 1, heading. If a man does evil for the sake of a god, he is mad. If a man does evil for a prophet, he is a soldier. And if a man does evil for evil's sake, he is a scientist. Registration at Lord Thornton University has been all the horrors and mind-numbing frustration described to Jerry. Both days, Thursday and Friday, have been spent in the aisles of the university trying to find locations of classes and individual signatures that were needed. Jerry finished as of noon Friday and couldn't be more glad. He still had all of the following week before classes started. Friday afternoon found him in the library accessing the different translation programs with a large leather-brown text beside him. If it weren't for his insatiable curiosity about the text, there would have been no way to have the patience. He'd have to spend the 4 hours scanning all the pages into the computer and waiting for the printout. It was a rather ingenious system. Slow, but ingenious. The computer took a page of Latin and, using different meanings of each Latin word, combined them with a knowledge of modern English grammar and put it together in translated form. Any of the words left misunderstood were left as they were and were assumed to be names. The two friends had seen little of each other on Thursday or Friday. By the time Jerry rolled out of bed Saturday morning, from his bedroom window, he could see Steve's black minibux had vanished from outside. With a now standard breakfast of peanut butter and jelly sandwich in his hand, he ascended to his book-ridden perch. Today was the day to attack the newly translated version of the Il Sanctus Ex Virax Liber. He'd been purposely saving the text for the day. He couldn't have started it on a Friday night, by the force of sheer will, he managed to hold himself back. Instead, he spent Friday night organizing and putting the finishing touches on his new study. With the ease of unpacking compared to when he packed, it didn't take as long. In a matter of hours, the old attic had been transformed into a retreat suitable only for those of the most extravagant. Jerry lost track of time in the ancient pages. The original text lay open beside the translation so he could consult the illustrations as he studied. He had never heard Steve come home. The attic trapdoor swung open and catch itself on the chains with a loud snap. Steve looked up at his friend, who was sprawled out on his reading mat, but almost jumped out of his skin. Jesus Christ, Steve, don't fucking do that. You scared the living shit out of me. Steve let out an amused chuckle. Sorry, man, you've been hiding up here all day, huh? Why, what time is it? Almost 6 o'clock. The day's gone. Jerry swung himself up in a laying position and onto his feet. His body ached from laying down so long. A quick stretch, and he dropped himself into his favorite chair. It was the first time Steve had been upstairs since the Great Organization. The room seemed a lot narrower with the tall bookshelves that now lined the walls. They went the entire length of the attic, stopping at the end only for another shelf packed with knowledge. A long rectangle of bookshelves, except for the triple gaveled windows that spanned out from the house, giving the one and half hexagon floor space. Jerry had placed the three trunks spaced evenly along the floor with the British, Canadian, and American flags over top each to create makeshift coffee tables. The only furniture was ratty old couch that sat on the floor, creating a room within a room, and Jerry's swivel chair sitting in the middle of the gaveled windows. Steve dropped himself down on the couch, seemingly bouncing with a strange enthusiasm that Jerry recognized but couldn't quite place. So what'd you find out? About what? The book, Jerry, the Latin text. What did you find out? Jesus, Steve, what's gone into you? You're bouncing like a madman. Steve flashed a wild, mischievous smile. I'll tell you in a second. First, I want to hear what you found out about the text. What is it? Jerry grabbed hold of the sides of the book, and a demeanor of mock panic unleashed a scream that made it sound desperate. It's a cookbook! It's a cookbook! Come on, Jerry, I'm serious. What's it about? Jerry folded his arms on his chest. All right, I'm sorry. The book is essentially, from what I can tell, an actual Bible or some type of old-style occult religion. For how old? Well, from the very interested library prof told me, it could be over 1,000 years from the way it was made. They were surprised it was still in such good shape. See, normally leather-bound books dry out over time, but whatever this is, it stayed anyways. Steve's impatient service. What is it about? Well, for starters, the Il Sanctus Ex Virax Liber translates out to the sacred book of the flesh, and that's what this book is basically about, is flesh. Steve thought for a moment. It seemed to make sense that it went with the lab notes he's translated it, but the now childish enthusiasm was beginning to take change. At first, he felt excited that they had found this strange book of experiments. It was like some kind of a dream. Now, the work was beginning to take on a much more serious tone. And as the more the text began to show, this was not the work of just one crazy old man. What kind of a religion? Well, see, that's just it. I'm not too sure, but the book was part of a series, like a set of books that were written about ancient knowledge. There is one here specifically about a race of beings called the Malkuthrad. Their kick was basically to work with fetal human flesh, to basically channel the spirits of these Malkuthrad into the bodies of the unborn and those born, like, dead. Why? Well, again, this is written by people who are definitely big fans of the Malkuthrad. I guess it was asked them all sorts of questions about nature, the universe, shit like that. The book basically assumes reader knows why he wants to deal with the Malkuthrad guys. Mostly talks about their science of spirit and flesh transferal throughout the system of rituals and symbols. Virexology and vertometry, Steve added, but now Jerry was confused. Huh? Furexology is the name that Dr. Baruch gave when he called out the science of working with flesh. Vertometry was the science of geometric symbols producing power through their shape. That wasn't in the text. No, I got that out of the lab book and part of his journal. What else did you get? So far, not much. About the same on how to work with dead babies and how to get great party favors from these Malkuthred guys. That's about it. Steve let himself fall back heavily into the warm padding of the couch. He had already learned most of the information that Jerry told him from studying the journal and lab notes, but the odd sensation he'd felt now persisted in his guts. Well? Steve looked up from his thoughts, swirling about on the attic floor. Well, what? What did you find out about Dr. Nazi's wild worlds of sports? Oh, well, I probably made a smashing first impression on my chemistry prof. How so? Well, I was checking the instructor's class list, and I saw the name Professor Pagel, so I whipped over to the student building and cranked out photocopies of the lab book to show him. What did he say? Well, at first he looked at me as if I was nuts, and then I let him flip through some of the equations in the notes, and he seemed kind of interested. He said he needed the weekend to go over the stuff and check back with him on Monday. He was pretty curious where I got my hands on the stuff. Jerry chuckled between his words. Why? Doesn't every first student show up with Nazi war experiments under their arm? I guess not. Anyways, I told him it was in the family. I wanted his impression. Hopefully he can read German far better than I can, so we have an idea of what's going on with all this shit. So what does this mean? We don't have to wave our hands over a dead rabbit, or what? Steve was quiet for longer than Jerry thought he should have been, making him regret making fun of the concept. Steve wasn't sure if he should be regretting some things himself. He'd spent the whole day busily preparing for the experiment. He was so busy making sure he could do it with the materials he had, but now he began to question the ethics of his work. It was a long-term bane of the scientist's existence, almost enough to make him angry. He was on the verge of something unknown, a field so fresh that he himself could be known throughout history as the man who conquered death, the man who pioneered the way to break through beyond imagination. Only now, on the verge of such opportunity, here he was wavering on the fear of the unknown. To Steve, this is when being a scientist was most important thing in his life. And that was what he was to be now, a scientist. Jerry watched as the wheels within his head turned in his friend's mind. He'd learned long ago it's better to leave Steve alone with his thoughts and wait for until the gear stops. Then all at once, Steve's face grew hard, the face of a man with a job to do. Everything is ready downstairs for the experiment, if you still want to help. The words weren't meant to come out as harshly as Steve spoke them, but Jerry had seen this look of determination before. He let his humor work as a lubricant. Hey, I'm excited about this. I mean, seriously, Steve, think of what this could mean to fetal rabbits everywhere. He took the edge off the moment. Steve broke out in an involuntary laugh. Jerry kept it light. Do you seriously got all this shit ready to go down in the basement? Hey, man, I've been at it for most of the night and all today. Come check it out. In a flash, Steve was on his feet, crawling down through the trapdoor with Jerry in hot pursuit. Steve swung his hand up, slapping the light switch to let the glow spill into the basement stairwell. With the amount of light sockets in the laboratory space, he had sacrificed the ones in the stairs for the good of the lab. It gave a light at the end of the tunnel effect as the two descended into the inner sanctum. Jerry had to look around with a sense of mild admiration. Steve had been busy. What was once a somewhat creepy dark hole had been turned into a rather effective laboratory. Set like a grid in the ceiling, fresh 100-watt bulbs shone out about every 5 feet, chasing the shadows away from sight. The once bare walls were now covered with charts and diagrams over top a shiny new coat of white latex paint. The workbenches had also been redressed in a fresh coat of white, serving to reflect the light back up in a menagerie of Pyrex glass that lay in sporadic order. Steve turned sharply away from the lab into the area that had been the open concrete floor. Jerry saw that, indeed, this area had been transformed as well, but in a slightly different venue. There, drawn on the floor, was an 8-foot representation of the ritualized circle drawn from the pages of the lab book. Jerry had to pause to admire Steve's strange but obvious devotion to this cause. The area where the symbol was almost completely covered with a complex overlay of geometric shapes and symbols. It didn't have the usual chaos he'd seen in other occult writings. Instead, it seemed to have like an electrical circuit or a map. Each shape was intermixed, but definitely in its place, each connected to the other by deliberate lines. The entirety of the object had been painted while Jerry had imagined to be black latex paint, but for the amount of detail and specific action, Steve must have used a small model paintbrush. The rest of the room had been modified as well. The lighting was the same as the rest of the basement, with a fresh bulb every 5 feet. The countertop lay almost totally bare, except for a small kennel-style cage that sat silently as if waiting. Through the surrounding wire, Jerry could see a small white rabbit bundled into a furry ball, his tiny nose twitching in an expectant fashion, as if wondering his fate. I thought this was supposed to be done with a dead bunny. Oh, it is. I got him in the fridge upstairs. I picked up the mother of the pinky in the, from the pet store as well. So if he did come back, the mother might accept him. It only cost me $20 for the both of them. $20 for two rabbits, and one of them's dead. Nope, they never saw you coming, did they? Steve ignored the remote and continued the remark and continued to check. The familiar reel-to-reel tape recorder they had found had been placed on the white countertop, its wire speakers spreading to each side of the ritual circle. Steve moved to the far corner where the tripod, topped with a small video camera, was set up, quietly doing a system check. The rest of the room was surprisingly bare. I've seen you've been a regular busy little satanic beaver, eh? Got your Eye of Newton, Tongue of Vap, all that sort of stuff from the local Jiffy Mart? Well, no, but I did use my entire supply of base iron. His answer caught Jerry off guard. I don't understand. Steve moved across the floor over the tape recorder. Well, a lot of occult writings and ritualized literature in the Verto Matrix is made out of particular... Hold it, Steve. You lost me there. The what? The Verto Matrix. All of the ways we humans call ceremonial circles, protection circles, talismans, summoning symbols are a form of matrix, kind of like a system of wires, only instead of wires we use lines drawn or carved on a circuit. Vertometry is the study of these symbols and how interdimensional energy affects our world around us. So rather than refer to these different symbols as their religious names, Verruckt, the doctor who created this, called them a Verto Matrix. You follow me?
Evil.
Steve paused in his flow of information to see Jerry's odd expression, a mixture of concern and confusion. You're really into this fucking weird shit, aren't you? Like, you're really doing something... This is really doing something for you, isn't it? Steve dropped his eyes to the ground. He could understand his friend's concern, but this was science. There was no room to let irrational fears get in the way. He must muster himself to stand strong on his ground. The more I read into this, Jerry, the more it makes sense. Sure, Dr. Brooke did some horrible shit. Yeah, sure, he was a Nazi. But a lot of his theories seem to be based on facts. I even used the iron mixed with the black paint so it would work as a better conductor. This could be something real, Jerry, and if we owe it to humanity to follow up. Steve left the room, each step thumping as he ascended the basement stairwell. We owe it to humanity. The statement stuck in Jerry's mind. It sounded like the kind of rhetorical dogma that scientists use when they're doing things unspeakably cruel. He decided it would be best to just let Steve do his thing here, and when the experiment failed, he'd compliment his friends for his effort. Down the road, they'd be able to sit back and laugh about it, but not right now. He moved to the lab section to grab a stool and tuck neatly underneath one of the workbenches. Sounds of Steve's feet thundering back down the stairs. Jerry was seated quietly in the corner of the room, opposing the video camera, as Steve reappeared. His hands held a small, plastic, white, and tiny pink form lying cold and still in the bag. He moved out carefully into the virtual matrix circle on the floor, and as carefully as he could as not to smudge any of the lines, should they still be wet. Ever so carefully, Steve opened the bag, shaking the tiny pink form out of it onto his hand, and then placing it into the center of the circle gingerly. Walking backwards in a hopping motion to get out of the circle, he paused by the countertop to relax. So there, Dr. Frankenstein, you want to give the bunny life or what? Steve went over a mental list of his library as quickly as he could. Although the question was laid within Jerry's particular brand of humor, it was still valid, and the answer was yes. Okay, Jerry, here's the deal. You can totally make fun of my efforts after this is over with, but until then, you don't say a word because you get screwed up if you talk. I'm going to need you to work the video camera, okay? Hey, no problem. I'm not going to say a word. You can just go nuts and I'll capture it on tape. Jerry moved over the rear of the camera, exercising the same care not to step in the virtual matrix in an almost unconscious fashion. Steve moved over to the tape recorder, prepared to let the ancient reels turn out the sounds of the experiment. Another quick check through his mental list and all was in order. Jerry flicked the small video camera to life. He panned around the room to get a feel of its motion, the tripod before beginning recording. He brought the frame in on Steve as he checked the reels, looking apprehensive but in control. Even Jerry began to feel the anxiety in the air as he found himself almost hoping the tiny pig corpse might stir, even if only a little bit, so Steven wouldn't feel so let down. Okay, Jerry, I want you to pan it in on me and give my explanation focus on the fetus, all right? You got it. You just tell me when. A quick nod and a normally barely audible whir of the camera roared into the room. With the camera lens focused on him, Steve's mind came to a screaming halt. Only his breathing escaped his mouth. A few seconds later, order was restored and words came spilling out. Steven Naylor's first experiment in vertometry. The subject is a fetal rabbit. Steve pointed out into the large matrix symbol on the floor. Jerry's camera followed his fingers aimed at the tiny corpse. He brought the camera angle in tight so the tiny shape almost filled the lens. Jerry was rather surprised with the zoom lens capability to bring it in so sharp. There'd be no room for error now. If that fetus even so much as twitched, it'd be caught on film. An empty hum of electricity came through the old tape speakers in the room. The same German voice came out of the dark speaker mesh saying numbers with a machine gun tone. Without moving the camera lens up or even to look around, Jerry stood like a zombie awaiting his master's whim. He knew he had the tape. He knew he had to have to turn the tape up to its maximum volume. Then the chanting came. Thera fastrad inyan nudlad yan. Thered fastrad ul minyad nan. Neither of the two could even guess what language it was. A single male voice, speaking in a monotone, began to spew words, each syllable and vowel half-spoken and half-sung, with an emphasis placed on every letter. Now, a woman's voice joined in. They repeated the same phrases again, but this time it seemed louder. Then at once the speakers were ablaze with sound, countless voices all chanting the same frame in harmonious corpus. The sound went past the ears. Jerry was sure that even if he had lost his sense of hearing, he would be able to feel these strange verse ripples in his flesh. Thered fasted imrin lun lad yan. Thered fasted lud minyad yan. The sounds of voices built upon each other, cutting their way through Steve's concentration until it filled its very thoughts. It invaded his memory, washing it away until the only hafting awashed, each verse slurring into the other, unable to tell where one had begun and the other had ended. The air was slashed with white sound, a scream. A sound of terror, a scream of an animal fear in its base and pure form. Steve and Jerry broke from their near trance-like state. A small caged rabbit pressed itself back as far as it could against the rear of its kennel, eyes wide and ears flat. The whole body trembled as it gasped for air. The only purpose in existence was now to unleash another cry. Twisting its head forward when it screamed, the rabbit made it look as though it was trying to snap its own neck. The intensity of the fear. Another howl, and the chanting had reached its climax. The very essence of the air seemed alive with a natural energy, trying to press its way into Stephen and Jerry. It was met by the barrier of skin, the barrier of living flesh, and the sound seemed even more hateful for it. Another whine joined in the chorus. Its tiny cries somehow blended with the chants in a way that made Steve's heart pause. Jerry's eyes were glued to the small video eyepiece. He watched the tiny pink form, now bucking head, let loose the sound impossible for its size. A feeling washed over him, like the blast of madness from its tiny, helpless pink demon that lay writhing on the painted floor. I'll stop it there. That's halfway through the chapter. We'll go from there. Yay! That was actually...
Thanks to you, I finally figured something out.
What's that, boy?
Because of your story, I was able to actually figure out what Libby's potted meat food product actually
it's Beetle
is.
It's Beetle Rabbit.
Beetle Rabbit. Somebody did ask if this story is online.
It can be.
A couple people.
If you
That's
guys,
what I said. It can be if enough people
you
should
have read.
It.
You should have just read the first chapter of the intro with the
oh,
doctor.
No. No,
yeah. That's cool. That was what you should have read.
Yep.
No,
the first chapter has, like, this woman strapped to a table and, like, her baby, like...
Brutal!
You know, ripping out of, like...
That's what
uterus.
You should have read, yeah. I mean,
yeah,
it's...
That was pretty brutal, like a couple of things. So if you guys want to see this thing online, I suppose I could probably do that.
It's not time to call in yet.
Holy shit. Put
My
it online.
On the
Shazbot. Shazbot
huh?
says put it on. Spell checker. Yeah, no shit. I'm a loser, yeah, I know, spell checker's a motherfucker, and if I do put it online, no one's allowed to say shit about, you know, your spelling's all fucked because, you know, let's see you crank out 250 fucking pages of text and get the spelling right. But, yeah, it's kind of a bitch. I'm working on my second one. This one probably won't actually see print because it's an interesting book, and it's a good book, but it's short, and it's, like I said, it's a fledgling killer's first attempt. And that kind of shit never usually watch. The second book that I'm writing is actually called Abaddon. It's the story of what happens to people after they die. And I combined, because I'm actually, surprisingly, no, you wouldn't know this, but I'm actually a pretty twisted fuck. But I actually spent a great deal of my
just listen to his rants.
Reading,
can't tell.
Reading about occult stuff, so I combine all this shit together.
I actually have to take some small credit for this,
yes,
and I apologize.
And Daxter, being my older brother, he pretty much warped me in a big way. He's like, oh, hey, you're 12. Why don't you read a whole bunch of H.P. Lovecraft? Yeah, fucked for life.
I'm going to pay in hell for that one.
Okay, I'm going to go get something to drink now, because, wow, is my voice ever hoarse.
Let's do the big announcement.
What's the big announcement?
The big announcement is we're getting a 1-800 number.
Hey!
For the show, if you can believe that. Yeah, it's free. No, we have to pay for it. We have to shell out. How's that chair? What just happened?
Just fell over.
Destroying the studio again. For one place, the first place I phoned was a local telephone company, which is called TELUS now, not BCTEL. It was $8 a month, which was like, oh, that's
not bad.
That's not bad. And
I can understand why so many women do these sex phone lines.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, that's 1-900. I don't know what the charges are for that, but it's probably about the same, except it charges the other person, and you make the money. And it's 14.
John, when you're grabbing a Dr. Pepper, could you get me one too?
14 cents Canadian and 18 cents American a minute. 30 seconds minimum, bill second, 6 seconds at a time. And I phoned AT&T and left a message or for them to phone me. And they finally got back to me after I pseudo ordered it through TELUS. And the guy got back to me, he was on his cell phone in his car. And the price through AT&T Canada is zero a month. I'm like, hey, that's better.
Yeah.
Can't get much better than that. How about you pay me? And it's 11 cents a minute. Flat.
I'd say we go with AT&T.
Like, flat. That's it. U.S., Canada, it doesn't matter. Flat.
The only problem is...
it's a one-year contract.
Well, no, that's not a problem because it doesn't cost you anything all month anyway. Yeah. So, okay. The problem is that Sam already called TELUS, and we're worried that they might have gotten the number we wanted and reserved it.
Yep.
So that means when we call AT&T, they won't be able to get it.
Yeah, they're like, oh, put this on hold for whatever 5 days or something that they could probably do.
What's going to be the number?
We'll see. We don't know.
We don't know yet. The one we are trying for, and I have phoned it, well, the one I really want is 1-800-RANT-NOW.
But that's cool.
That's Ticketmaster. So I don't think Ticketmaster is going to give it to us.
1-800-RANT-NOW?
Now is Ticketmaster.
I thought you said that wasn't anything.
No, 1-888 is free. Like, there's nobody at 1-888.
Oh, 1-800 is better.
1-800 is better, but 1-888 is fine. And the other choices that we have, the ones I came up with, the second choice was 1-800-U-RANT. I didn't check these out. I should have. And the next one after that was 1-800-GET-RANT.
And that one's horrible. It's bad.
Okay.
How about Rantio?
Rantio. The one that...
I think
Rantio.
You're right.
Rantio!
I am Rantio! Prepare to die, Wolverine.
Okay. The one that's... Rant off isn't as good as Rant Now or You Rant, but it's way, way better than Get Rant.
Get Rant, yes. Rant off is better. The another one that Drexel suggested is 1-800-RANT-RADIO. And it only takes the first, seven digits after the 800 number. So that's a great one. They can press as many numbers as you want after it. Because if you ever dialed a phone number and just kept pressing numbers, it's ringing already, and all those extra numbers you're pressing doesn't matter. So
should I do my gross hospital story?
Yes, you should, actually. And let's take it off, focusing off the... Oh, did somebody...
It's a quick one.
The camera? Oh, okay. Yes, it's time for gross hospital stories, and I'm going to do the intro.
Like my rant radio, my gross. Oh, is it? Oh, God.
It's almost. It's not quite 11 o'clock. And here's the intro to Gross Hospital Stories.
Now, once again, it's time for Gross Hospital Stories.
Yes, yes. Actually, as Drex was mentioning, I am breaking a 9-year tradition this year.
There's still an hour after the show.
Okay, if somebody can, within an hour, can get me a Pokemon.
7-Eleven, get some cards.
Do they sell Pokemon cards at
7-Eleven?
Yeah. It has to actually be, like, something we can burn in effigy, and not just like a two-dimensional
picture. It has to be actually burnt in effigy. So if somebody, that's what, I basically have been flat broke. This is why my costume sucks so badly.
Oh, that's a good costume. I think that's awesome. 7-Eleven worker.
Yeah.
I think you should go to 7-Eleven with that on. I get the Pokemon card.
He's been so broke lately, he's been anybody's bitch.
Thank you. You know, at least you allowed me to keep my dignity through all this. But anyhow, getting on to... Yeah. To get on with my gross hospital story, in case I haven't mentioned to anyone, I spent 5 years...
5 years?
Five years.
How many?
5 years. working in a hospital. And in this time, I saw many things that were gross and disgusting. Well, tonight I'm going to... Unfortunately, I don't really have a Halloween story. That's right. I'm a loser. But I do have kind of a Canadian Anna story. I have a hockey stick story. I was going to give you a choice of this last week. You didn't take it, so fine, you get it this week now.
No, yeah. I took the gunshot.
Yeah, I know. You took the gunshot story last week, but you get the hockey stick story this week. We had a guy who was playing hockey, of course, on the ice. And apparently as he was charging, this is what he gave up to us, like he told us. As he was charging somebody, he missed him, slammed into the boards, and kind of broke his stick. He actually could tell that it broke a little bit. Mm-hmm. But rather than drop the stick like you're supposed to when this happens,
yeah.
He kept right on skating. So here he is. Okay. He's got the stick in his hands. He's going down the ice. And he slams into another person. And the stick went out in front of him. And he was actually spearing the guy. If you know hockey, mm-hmm. you know what kind of penalty you'll normally get for this. He paid an even harsher penalty for it. Because as he slammed the stick into the person, the stick traveled down his hands. And a shard broke away from the stick, went into his hand, came out his hand, and dislodged 8 of the bones in his hand. This is a guy that just came into the hospital. And, like, he came in bleeding profusely through his hand, and he dislodged 8 bones from the shard off his hockey stick that went through his hand and up through his wrist and out over here.
Real go-getter, huh?
Yeah. So that's my little Canadian story. It's not really that gross, but just try to imagine a nice, sharp shard of wood driven through your hand to the point that all the little bones in your hand, and there's a lot of them, 8 of them have been moved. That's what dislodged means. Not actually kicked out, but just moved around. So,
nasty.
Danger.
So that's my quick hospital story. And we'll also have the ingredient list, I think, for potted meat product coming up next week. It'll be on the web.
Yeah, it should be on the webpage.
So that in itself, by the way, is a gross hospital
story. Still phone in this week, so fuck all y'all. Next week, we probably have the 1-800 number. So it won't cost you a dime, so don't complain about it right now.
I am actually leaving right now.
Why do people leave, like, 2 minutes before the show ends? Just
I didn't know the show was almost
over. It's 11:02, so the show ends is now.
Oh, okay.
Say goodbye to everyone on the IRC.
Goodbye, everyone on the IRC.
Dream Stalker, guest 52991, which is Peanut Butter.
Hi, Peanut Butter.
You can see her pictures on the webpage.
Just as an idea, just before we go, how many people out there listening right now actually want to read Bloodstained Rabbit?
We saw 2.
So those of you who want to read it, just put in I want it online right now. And James went off the IRC.
And we'll say goodbye to Hambone 20, Infaloop, Lieutenant Major Zombie, our faithful listener.
Yes.
Shazport, and I don't know why people didn't listen in this week. I guess it was
Halloween. If it wasn't Halloween night, I can understand why.
Yeah.
I mean, let's put it this way. If normally this would be the night I'd be throwing my party, but I went to someone else's for a change.
Yeah.
This one? This isn't a party, man.
Woo-hoo.
Oh no, I meant last night. I went to somebody else's Halloween party.
The parties were last night. Everything was last night because it just happened to be on the
weekend. Okay, I got like 5 people who want the book, so I'm gonna arrange it.
Send
and,
it to me. I'll put it up
as of next Sunday.
Put it under your name.
We'll have it on my page, and it should be up by next Sunday, so you guys can.
Except for the last page, and then you have to buy the book, send money to.
No, I'm not gonna do that bullshit. If these guys are cool enough to listen to the show and they want to listen, then that's all fucking good.
Yeah,
and
the more the merrier,
if,
right?
If you like this book, then kick ass. If you don't like this book, then...
See, somebody even knew the name, Bloody Rabbit.
It's Bloodstained Rabbit. That's close enough.
Bloodstained Rabbit, that's all good. Don't worry
that's
about
all
it.
Good.
I read the Bloody Roman. And if anyone actually wants to know where I got the original idea for the title from, it's from that book, from that bitch with multiple personality, When Rabbit Howls. I always thought that that book had an awesome name, so I wanted to come up
Rabbit
with the title.
Howls.
When Rabbit Howls, yeah. Or When Rabbit Screams.
It's like the thing they do with movies. Just put the word dog in it. It's good to go. Make lots of money.
Yeah, so
that's like,
it's a fucked up title, so hopefully, but no one's publishing the fucking thing yet, so whatever. So the next one will probably
make it free.
Write the last page in code.
There's a secret message in there, if you can find it. One thing that is cool that only the Rant Radio listeners will know about the book is the fact that every single title of everything in the story, right from the city names to the even the names like Verrucht is German for the word insanity, Pagel is Hindu for the word insane, everything is based around insanity. All the town names, the district names are all based on names of insane asylums right across Canada.
Isn't there people like in the book that are based on people that
yeah, and there's
come
actually,
to the show?
Like,
and
Desmond is one of the people in the story. There's actual people in the story.
He turned me into a knife-wielding trucker.
Yeah, and it was cool.
You don't like that?
Yeah, and the neat thing is as the book progresses, the only thing that's not named after a sanitarium is the sanitarium, which is named after my high school.
How perfect.
And there's a dedication to KMFDM in the book. So if you can find the dedication to KMFDM, you can find it.
Then we'll say your name three times.
Well, you get to download it and
on
get
air.
It for free. But so, wait, you would have had to get the dedication anyway.
Everyone say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Individually. This is bye from Sumerian.
Eggie.
And Rendler.
And this would be bye from Sean K, the fucking man.
Night.
That was the shy one.
That was the shy one.
Ciao.
That was Bob from Brew.
Bye from Dak.
Hurl.
Yeah, I'm Bob. Oh, wow.
That's why we give you headphones. So you don't do that kind of thing.
It didn't work. You don't get to wear them next time. Wait, they're yours.
Put this for ours.
I don't like this lack of control thing.
It's too bad.
Okay, say bye.
I already did, but there was a big blah in it. Bye.
From?
If you don't know who I am now, fuck
you. You haven't been listening, and God do. I wish I were you.
And this is goodbye from Sumerian again. This is the What the Hell outro.
You have just listened to another episode of What the Hell on Rant Radio. Tune in next Sunday at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time to find out what happened to Sim and the rest of the gang in the dramatic continuation of What the Hell.